Yo, everyone jerked off again this weekend, right?
Hey, what's poppin'? It's a whole new week.
Yay.
With the Drew and Mike Show. Mark and Brandon are with me. I think Trudy returns to vacation tomorrow.
Just in time for our vacation of, what, one day, 2 days?
Yeah, we'll get a few days in here somewhere. People have some things to do. And
it's my anniversary week, 15 years.
Well, that's a thing to do.
15.
15 years?
Yeah.
Wow, that doesn't seems like a long time to me.
Happy anniversary,
a-hole. Not even in this marriage.
Yeah, you are.
I guess I kind of am.
Kind of, yeah.
Gary Graff's going to join us a little later. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and I love when we can change the subject on those rare moments.
We found the Tom Petty song.
Oh, good.
And it's really funny. You have to. Tom Petty is making you take a quiz to hear his new song, which is a great way to get your new song out there.
Wait, how do they communicate with Tom Petty to determine that he wants us to take a quiz?
His estate wants you to take a quiz to hear the song, which, once again, great way to get your song out to the masses.
Okay, you want
to
ask me the questions?
We can do you, and then we can do Graff.
Should we wait for Gary?
We can do that.
Okay. I'm excited about Gary because there's a lot of stuff to talk about in the rock and roll world, and also because this weekend is the 50th anniversary of the Goose Lake International Music Festival. And I always get pumped anytime we can talk about this because I feel like it's the lost rock festival.
Well, when did we find out about it? In,
like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I was just going to say 2010.
And I can't even remember why we found out. But, I sent Brandon the audio. Actually, I meant to open the show with it today because I thought it was so good. The Goose Lake audio of the Angry Neighbors.
Let's welcome the students.
Where's that at? Is that part of the new recording?
We decided to put our home up for sale after the festival. We couldn't go through another one. The property surrounds us, the park property on three sides, and we had we lost a lot of sleep.
The kids that go to rock festivals have the right to express themselves, I suppose, in the same sense that the winos on Skid Row have the right to express themselves.
What a shot, Lee.
It was the worst drug orgy that was ever held in the United States.
Well, why don't you cry about it? Saddlebags?
It was dangerous to the people. The people weren't here to hear the music. They were here to absorb drugs.
Absorb drugs. I love that.
That park were drug addicts.
Well, our August 7th, 8th, and 9th festival turned out to be wonderful. As far as the kids went, everyone had a good time.
That's what's the problem.
We had a lot of kids here. We had a real good-sized city here.
Are you okay? Yeah, this Southfield contractor, Richard Songer is his name. I can't figure out if he's alive. Because he was 35
no,
then.
No, said in the story.
He did pass away.
Well, okay. I thought that's how it went. They were clearing out his...
His
son was clearing out like the old house, and mom's like, just throw it all away.
Wait, are you talking about the guy that got the tape of Iggy Pop, or the guy that started the Goose Lake International Music Festival?
Sorry, I was talking about the guy that got the full concert of the Stooges.
Yeah, which has been a huge development. Because Third Man Records is putting out the Stooges' performance there, and that coincides nicely with his 50-year anniversary. And this guy was a sound engineer, just recorded all these performances at the Goose Lake Show, which was really Michigan's Woodstock. I mean, this thing was a monster. It was in Leoni Township. You guys know where Leoni Township is exactly? Is there an easy way to explain that?
Jackson, right?
It's around that area, yeah. And it was 1 year after Woodstock. And Richard Songer was a successful contractor who just decided, I'm throwing a huge bash, and I'm going to do it right. I'm going to fix all the mistakes they made at Woodstock. And he budgeted $1 million, which, you know, at that time was a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a permanent festival site. Unfortunately, it only housed one concert.
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the way I see it, like, yesterday I was looking at a new Bose speaker to go with my phone.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, there's no amount I will not short myself anything when it comes to my phone speaker because I like to crank music on it. I mean, as far as stupid shit like clothes and food and cars and houses, I don't spend money on shit like that. But when it comes to a new Bose speaker for my phone, there is no limit to what I'll spend. And I think I spent $1,000
on this speaker. Really?
I know, it ought to be pretty good.
Spread out.
It should be here Tuesday. I'm pretty pumped. But anyway, back to important things to spend money on, like Michigan's Woodstock and Richard Songer. They had the rotating stage so that while the band was playing, the next band was preparing. And some people said that almost literally at the last note, the thing would start rotating and there would be less than a minute between performances.
That's cool.
How awesome is that?
Great.
They had light stanchions, speaker stanchions permanently built. They're still there.
I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
They didn't have that problem either. You know why?
Why?
Because they had a backstage sizzler area with groupies.
What?
Yes. 20 to 30 at all times who would fluff performers or more.
Really?
Yeah. They had a young hip police force for this.
This for all the dudes on the stage. All y'all gay.
Who were told to leave the kids alone. Leave the kids alone.
Huh.
The light towers, speaker towers, and... let's see, what else? I mean, this thing was really planned out. They also had all these additional things, like they had kitchens, and they had co-ed showers, by the way.
Yeah.
Co-ed showers. The first day, I guess some stiffs felt it was a little awkward, so that it was only co-ed for one day.
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
As far as Goose Lake swimming, and this is another thing that upset the neighbors, everyone was nude swimming. Everyone was nude.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
How hot is that? It was almost like being at New Trier High School. Had to swim nude.
Is it that hot? Nude, all nude swimming?
Well, in some cases, it might be hot. I mean,
yeah, I bet you're a bunch of dudes in there.
Well, maybe we find some pictures.
It was probably 90-10 dudes.
There were definitely women in the lake.
Yeah,
maybe not as many as guys.
One or two.
But between that and the co-ed showers, it gives you an idea what 1970 was like.
They take a shower and water comes dripping out. It's dripping out, very quietly dripping out.
That guy was not happy about the showers.
No, he didn't like the setup. They had these giant restrooms, showers, and baths. You can actually take a bath at the Goose Lake Festival. Beaches, shaded beaches, the beautiful lake there, dune buggy trails, motorcycle trails, camping, rain covers. They had firewood available. They thought of everything.
Pussy at the beach.
And Songer, who was just a rockhead, he was just a rock dog who was good at construction, he teamed up with Russ Gibb and his partner Tom Wright. Now, Russ Gibb had been doing the Grandy Ballroom for years with great success. He knew all the bands. He started the Paul is Dead thing, which was an international story. So he has some coolness credibility. Now, that should not get a bloop. But unfortunately, what happened was, drugs took center stage.
Yeah,
that was one of the quotes from one of the stories.
The headliner?
Open sales and usage. Dealers are walking around with trash bags full of lids. People know what a lid is now?
Really ancient...
it was like two fingers, I think, was a lid. It was like two fingers, it's a lid. It was only one finger.
LSD, PCP, heroin, cocaine. What else you want to know?
If it's a nickel bag, I don't want to hear about it. But, yeah, so that was crazy. And Governor Milliken denounced the use and sale and demanded investigation and prosecution of the drug pushers.
Oh, God, drug pushers.
Buzzkill! Drug pushers. 160 arrests. But, I mean, history was made. I don't think it gets enough history, though. I saw a picture of the parking lot.
Yeah.
Tons of microbuses. Tons of VW microbuses.
Cool.
Lots of vans. And, of course, the camping areas, everybody's camping. And there were literally no medical problems, no fights, almost. It sounded like, the drug pushers.
Well, wasn't
there weren't too many problems.
Wasn't Woodstock 94 like that? And then 99 was an epic disaster when it came to all that stuff?
Yeah, I think they all do share a lot of things in common.
It depends on so many things. The band, time that band is playing.
Well, you have a lot of people who love music. I mean, that's the main thing. And usually people are fairly well behaved if they want to see the band. And they had a good lineup. I mean, 1970, it's hard to kind of reflect and think of how good a lineup this was then. But Teagarden and Van Winkle opened on Friday. Mountain with Leslie West, Mississippi Queen. Faces with Rod Stewart? I mean, that's small faces, faces.
Who are they?
Faces without Rod Stewart, Faces with Rod Stewart, obviously the best there of the of those options. And Faces were great, hugely influential. 10 years after, Chicago closed, but that's pre-Foster Cetera, because Chicago did attain the Foster Cetera virus about 5 or 6 years after that, unfortunately. I mean, that Chicago was a hot live act then, and also the guitarist was alive. What's his name? Okay, so like two documentaries about him just recently, and he was really good. And I
Terry Kath.
Terry Kath, exactly. Saturday was John Drake, Third Power, New York's Rock and Roll Ensemble, Brownsville Station, Smoking in the Boys' Room.
When you mentioned Mississippi Queen, this is the only thing that popped
fun,
in my head.
Fun, consult
this,
your school library.
This is kind of how, this is kind of how you sound right now.
Mississippi Queen.
Good
when I listen to a really good song, I start nodding my head like I'm saying yes to every beat.
Yes, 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 this rocks.
And then sometimes I switch it up like, no,
no, no, don't stop a rocking.
Dad, please, you're embarrassing us.
No, I'm not. I'm teaching you about rock music. Now, Grand Funk Railroad paved the way for Jefferson Airplane, which cleared the way for Jefferson Starship. The stage was now set for the Alan Parsons Project, which I believe was some sort of hovercraft.
Dad, no one cares about any of your stupid dinosaur bands. You have the worst, lamest taste in music ever.
I know this.
Oh, that's so mean, Bart.
It is funny that you could love classic rock that much and then, of course, have a child who just thinks you're the biggest dope, musically speaking. SRC played after Brownsville Station. I'm not sure what SRC is. Is that three guys? Must be, I'm thinking.
No idea.
The Stooges with Iggy, MC5, the Flying Burrito Brothers, who were kind of a country rock crossover,
didn't
Graham Parsons.
Talked about them not that long
ago. Yeah, we
ago.
Did, because we're talking about Graham Parsons. And John Sebastian, who had soloed out from Do You Believe in Magic? Hot Town Summer in the City. Why can't I think of that Dan's name? Damn it.
Love and Spoonful.
Love and Spoonful, right. Yeah. Sunday Savage, Grace, Flock, Mitch Ryder, and Detroit Wheels, Bob Seger, System, James Gang with Walsh. Turn your pretty head and walk away. Also, Funk 49. I mean, James Gang was a hot band. That was a very hot band. Walsh's first band. And then Tull.
Who are they?
Tull closed the festival. And after Aqualung, Tull was huge. So,
yeah, with that flute.
Yeah. Ian Anderson. Absolutely. Tull was gigantic then. So it was a really credible festival. And it was here. And it was, some people think there were 300,000 people there. I think 200,000 is probably more the more common number given, but I mean, if there were 250,000 people at a Michigan festival, what could even compete with that? I can't think of any other thing. I remember seeing the Stones in Spartan Stadium. Yeah. That was a huge gig. The Silver Dome had some really big gigs.
How many were at Woodstock? What's the...
Oh, the actual Woodstock? 400,000.
Oh.
Some say more. But the Watkins Glen had a festival, I think, in 73. Or maybe that was 70. Allman Brothers, I think, might have been the headliner. And Watkins Glen, they said, had 600,000. Among them, the Grateful Dead.
Sounds like a great one.
Yeah, the Summer Jam at Watkins Glen in 73, you're correct.
Thank you. Anyway, this guy found his mom was moving.
Yeah.
And his dad was a sound engineer who had recorded stuff at Goose Lake and other places. I wonder what else is in that box of tapes.
I know, man. It sounded like it had a ton of stuff.
They're all reel-to-reels, two-tracks, which, you know, where do you even find a two-track machine now? That two-track sound wasn't bad.
Third Man Records. Apparently it's the only place yes. that has it.
So, all right, I'll finish that in a second. But first, I want to mention Dr. Yaldo is back with us, and they're offering $1,500 off for the Drew and Mike discount. If you want to see, like in one case, the young lady, 19-year-old listens to us. She had, she was basically blind without her contacts and glasses, and now she is seeing very well without either one of them. And she's probably hot. Thanks, Dr. Yaldo. She's seeing other hot people very well. And COVID has changed things, but one thing they are doing over there is all those things that you have to do to be in business. And there are dentists who are back at work, and there's other people doing their thing. Dr. Roche is doing his thing.
Got the coronavirus.
And Dr. Yaldo took some time off, and they spent a lot of time figuring out how to do this and how to do it safely. So they're back. So if you want freedom from glasses, contacts, and reading glasses, it's time for Dr. Yaldo's LASIK or the lens implants, which are for people 45 or over. Multifocal implants. You'll see the microscopic print with your far vision in high-def HD. It's not hype. These surgeries are the safest, fewest side effects in all of medicine. So get a free evaluation, $1,500 off through a mic discount. Call 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyesCenter.com and tell them we sent you. So there.
Beautiful.
And we, I assume, are sponsored for Facebook Live, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
By
good friends at IRSI.
Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water is everywhere. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher. What's causing all these things that are rotting out in the bowels of your home? It's water coming from somewhere. That's why you need to call 877-JOB-DONE. Or maybe you have a whole lot of water. Or maybe you have storm damage. Maybe you have mold. Mold.
I'm not dried up either.
I think mold freaks me out as much as anything. It's just, I don't know.
What's more dried up, that lady or house?
I'm not dried up either.
That's a good question. I think she's more dried up than her house.
I don't want Ursie going over to her
I'm
place.
Not washed up.
877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Put it in the fridge. 877-JOB-DONE. If you have
good old Ferndale, that's where I grew up.
These kinds of problems. So yeah, Goose Lake was an amazing, amazing event, and Gary Graff can put a little more on it coming up. Oh, well, just finishing up. This Jim Cassily, who was a sound engineer, probably a huge nerd, and somehow he recorded all these shows at Goose Lake on two-track.
Mm-hmm.
And he recorded other shows, and then he passed away in 2005. But his son found this box and thought, well, you know, I got to listen to this before we throw it out, because mom was like, get rid of this shit. Sitting here for, what, it would have been 46 years at that point. So he took them to Chicago, started cataloging them, and then he took the Goose Lake Masters. Somebody suggested Third Man Records, Jack White and Ben Blackwell.
Now, it sounds like he has the whole concert, not just the Stooges.
True. And I guess there's a lot of interest in the Stooges because that's a famous show for them.
Yeah.
Because it was alleged that Dave Alexander, the bass player, froze and played one note the whole show.
Because it wasn't he allegedly really messed up?
Yeah, they took... You know, that's the funny thing about this. The fact that this performance is now coming out. It's available now, actually. If they had ever dreamed this, when Iggy and the Ashton brothers were taking horse tranquilizers at 8:45 p.m. shortly before they took the stage, did they ever dream that this thing would be recorded, you know, for posterity, and 50 years later be put out, and people would be excited about it, because people are excited about it. It's a snapshot.
I loved Iggy's comment in the article.
I didn't see his comment. What did he say?
When they first brought it to him, let me find the...
Man, Iggy should be in the Drew Stock lineup. I'm just afraid he lives too far away. It'd be
right
too
now?
Expensive. I think he's in Miami.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. But there's been an addition to the Drew Stock lineup. In addition to, so far we've signed
Drew
up.
Drew Stock or is it Drewpalooza?
It's got to be. I think Stock because.
Fest? Drew Fest. No, Drewpalooza Fest Stock.
It's got to be Stock or Palooza. One of the,
I do like Drewpalooza Fest Stock.
Drewpalooza Fest Stock's pretty good.
That could be workable. So far, we've only signed up a couple bands, so it's just a thought at this time.
Drewpalooza Fest Stock Gate.
I
have Dash Moonvez.
I haven't
slash
made
Fire Festival Part 2.
So
it seems like getting Fire Festival would be kind of cool. Getting it in there somewhere. But I've only made arrangements with people. I can't disclose what's been discussed already, but it looks like we've come to terms with Verve Pipe, Sponge, the Von Bondies. I have Jason Stolsteimer's phone number, so that should be good enough to
book.
That's
how you extrapolate
it. And he only wants to do festivals, so I think he's in.
We got
and
Matt Farley, Immortal Sin.
There were conversations over the weekend. I think the Romantics have been finalized.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're local.
Yeah.
And they got some great music from the 80s. So
special MC by the name of Mr. Methane.
Well, I really think the MC should be Matt Farley, and he should have to do a song about every band that he introduces.
Matt Farley would be that would be a lot of fun.
He doesn't leave his state, though. He doesn't leave his basement.
I think there's tremendous potential for this event. And that's why I studied Goose Lake Festival so hard today, because I was excited about it. But they did clean it up. They digitized it off the two-track.
When Blackwell brought it to Iggy to hear it last year, Iggy's response was, wow, That's a lot better than I remembered. Which is, what a great line for me. He always has good one-liners like
that. It's really funny.
But the point being, because he always hated that show because he just thought of how messed up bass player was.
Yeah, but actually it was probably Iggy that was messed up because he didn't even hear all the great bass playing out of Dave Alexander. And Dave Alexander is present on the tape. He's playing his bass.
Yeah, well,
maybe not the best.
Sometimes.
But it's not nearly as bad as it was.
He comes in and out.
Alleged to have been. So anyway, Graf can fill us in. There's some other things. There's a new Tom Petty track. There's a new Prince track. There are a few other things I know Gary is ready to get into. The Tigers are playoff bound, it looks like.
Yeah.
They're 8-5 after sweeping.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, how about that? How about that? Is anybody excited about this besides me?
Well, I mean, I think that they're going to probably most likely make this playoff, which because it's expanded. I don't think they're going to get too far in it, but I mean, I'm rooting for them. Jacoby Jones just got hurt. Is he hurt bad? I don't know. Oh, are they ever going to call Mize up? Who knows? But
I didn't even know Jacoby. When did he get hurt? That sucks.
I guess he had something up with his stomach. I don't know. He'll probably be fine. He's a young buck.
Let me tell you something. Yesterday, and this is when I got excited. Then when they fell to 5-5 after the two losses, I was like, okay, here we go. They're going to fall backwards and they'll fall out of it. If they're even competing into the last week, I'll be pumped as hell just to see games that mean something. Because we haven't seen games that meant anything.
I can tell you, they got that that tough stretch of road where they have all the doubleheaders against the Cardinals they have to make up.
I like the idea of three-inning games. Play three games, three innings long, and that way they can burn through the schedule and get caught up. But today, it was a 1-1 game in the eighth inning, top of the eighth, and Tigers had a runner on second base. Miggy with a 3-1 count ripped a single to left. I mean, really ripped it too. And I tweeted out the picture. His head is right on the bat head as he's swinging. Perfect form. 2-1. Jimenez and Buck Farmer held it. So they go to 8-5. And Miggy had a bomb on Saturday, a double and a single. So
he's on fire. He's worth every penny.
Well, he's got four bombs in 13 games. That's a pretty good pace. Got some ribbies. Had a big hit today.
A lot of homers.
I'm trying to enjoy baseball. It's not easy because it seems so rinky dink. You showed me the standings. What in the hell was that?
That was the NL Central, and the Cardinals have played as many games as the Brewers have lost.
Tigers too.
I think five. Right? Well, the Tigers have played 12. I think
Tigers have lost five.
You mean lost? Yeah. But the Cardinals.
Wait, they're 2-3. How can you be 2-3 and the Tigers are 8-5? This is so rinky dink.
I know. Well, that's baseball in 2020. Yeah, they're 2-3. They're tied in the standings with the Brewers, who are 6-7.
Oh man,
they're both four games back.
There's so much. I still don't know how they
the Pirates have played 16 games and have one more win than the Cardinals, who have played five. Meanwhile, the Marlins, the Marlins lost out on a bunch of games. They're in first place. They're 7-3. They've been on fire lately.
They did. They caught fire after that little COVID disaster. Uh-huh. They got a rest. They rested up.
They've lost.
Maybe COVID makes you a better baseball player.
They lost two in a row, but man, I just love how wacky this season is. It's great.
Well, not quite as wacky as college football, which yesterday I got up. And I see the MAC had canceled for the fall. I'm like, this is not like just, a band canceling a show here or there. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is canceling a whole season. They're a big part of the picture. Okay, they're not Power 5, but that's pretty significant.
Very significant.
Who's in the Big Sky that matters?
No one.
Who's in the Big Sky? Who's the best team in the Big Sky?
I don't know. Idaho.
But they canceled. And, of course, when they come out and say, well, the safety and health of our players has to come first. It's like,
right.
Well,
sure.
First of all, you can say that when you're canceling the season, I think. You can't say that when you're playing. And then the other thing that was also just sort of tertiary here was, did you hear about Colorado State and all this talk about the coach and racial abuse and intimidation and blah, 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 blah?
Well, as I told you, Adazio, who I didn't even know he was the head coach there. He was at Boston College and Temple before that. But before that, he was Urban Meyer's right-hand man, and he's the one he's the one that brought Aaron Hernandez into the fold down in Florida. So,
well, the players, though, have put out stuff saying that this is all BS, that they have never experienced any racial abuse or racial intimidation in the program.
See, I didn't see the racial stuff.
It's
I just
BS.
Saw the stuff
they
of,
made it up.
Him wanting the team to practice and COVID and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's another thing entirely,
yeah.
Which is not good. And I personally, honestly, I expect teams to cheat in college football when it comes to COVID, when it comes down to, oh, we got to win this game. Oh, he has COVID. Well, he'll be better in a couple of days, and we just won't. I mean, I just expect that.
Why? Because they've treated players so well in the course of history?
If they cheat on recruiting, if they pay players, if certain schools are willing to do this, that, or the other, and look at all the guys, too, who committed assaults and rapes and whatever, and they just get them on the field. Hey, due process. He's paid his price. I mean, it's just a very shady operation. So I expect that somebody will do something funky if they do play. But it sure seems like the Big Ten, I thought, was inferring that they're not going to play.
Well, it really sounds like they were not going to, or at least the commissioners in favor of moving it to the spring.
Look at the size of these guys.
So what are they?
What?
What are they waiting on?
Well, I don't know. They had a meeting yesterday.
I mean,
I don't know if they took a vote or not. I you gotta wonder if they're worried about other conferences playing and them sitting it out of the Power Five.
Okay, but the reason they would not play is because they just think it's stupid and it's not safe and so on and so forth. So, in other words,
come on. I thought I almost believed you there for a second.
No, the reason that they won't play is because they're forced to not play because it's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Not because they really care about safety and all that. It's because it's
insane
over the line. That they realize they can't do it. But if the other ones do it, then they're willing to cross that line because we'll fall behind.
Provide you a little bit of a shield. I'm so mad, though. Remember how pissed I was about Ward Manuel's letter to season ticket holders?
Yeah, which was total bullshit.
They're begging you to convert it into a donation. I then got a phone call from the athletic department saying, hey, let's talk about converting that into a donation. And now...
So it's a hard sell now. It's not just a suggestion.
I just got another email from...
Can you play the voicemail? I just want to hear
the girls' names on there. I don't want to play it, but it's really.
I just kind of wanted to hear how weaselly they sound.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me fast forward it through her.
Okay. While you're doing that,
she sounds.
She's just doing her job.
No, I know. I feel bad for her, but she has to feel and sound weaselly at the same time, even though she's doing her job.
Well, here's
and they have $12 billion sitting, but the school has $12 billion sitting around. I mean, as they try to suck every dollar out of every alumni who already pays for a license for the right to buy tickets. In fact, that seat license costs, it's over $100 a game.
Depends where you sit.
How fucking ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
Who ever heard of buying a license to have the right to buy a ticket? No one. It's a way to suck money out of
because everybody does it, no one really complains about it.
Yeah, because they need so much money because the players cost so much because the... Oh, yeah, they're free. I forgot. Yeah.
So the email sent today, because they always said, hey, if you convert that seat license into a donation, that we'll reward you. And now today I found out what the rewards are. If you donate both your seat license... I'm sorry, what do they call it? What is PSC?
A personal...
Oh, preferred seat contribution.
Stupid. I mean, to act like it's a real thing.
I know.
Like it's a real thing. Yeah, it's called a PSC.
Who doesn't have a preferred
seat? Yeah, everybody knows about PSCs, you asshole.
It's a contribution that you're forced to get. Yeah. So if you donate that and the season tickets forward, you get 100 priority point bonus, which as far
what a stupid present.
As far as those bonuses go, that's not that much. But then next year, you get a 20% discount off the price of your PSC and season ticket donation. Now,
season ticket donation.
Yeah, so a lot of people already paid for season tickets. I have not. I know you haven't either.
For next year or this year?
For 2020.
No, I have not.
Quote unquote. Yeah.
So well, I paid for my seat license.
As did I.
So I maintain my right to buy my seat if there ever is. An availability there. I can buy tickets for my seat.
So, but if you only donate that, then you only get 75% or points on your priority point bonus. Which who cares?
He's like speedy rewards points.
God,
it's how they determine if you want to get a better seat. But I like my seats. I'm never going to get a better seat.
Can I ask you something?
If you want a refund, you know what you get if you want a refund.
What?
Well, first off, you can kick it to next year and you get 50 points.
But fuck that. I'll hold my money this year and I'll decide next year.
Yeah, because you get nothing
else.
Just
send my fucking money.
You get nothing if you want a refund. Nothing. Zero. You just get your money back that they've made money on.
Do I lose my seat license? Is it still my license?
You get it by next year. But it really seems like they're preparing for no football.
I see. Well, my question is, I would like to know, can I sell my seat license? Can I go,
I am the license holder
for
seats 16 to 20 in row 52.
What?
Can you transfer it?
It seems like I ought to be able to sell it, but instead of just going, you didn't pay for your seat license. Sorry, bye. Shouldn't I be able to sell my seat license? I mean, isn't that a thing that has value?
It's a great question.
I own it.
Well, you can sell the tickets.
Like my Cops episodes. Nobody can fuck with my Cops episodes.
You can legally sell the tickets as long as you use the partnership that they have with StubHub.
That's a thing, too.
But once again,
that's a real thing.
Once again, depends where you sit, because if you're in the club, you can't put those on StubHub.
Okay.
Because, God forbid, should a fan from another team be up in the club section.
Stupid.
I love my school, but God, can they be dumb sometimes.
Okay, can I hear this young lady's message? And I agree with you. She's done nothing wrong. She's doing her job. Probably does it very well. In fact, I bet there is a shit ton of money.
You received from our athletic director, Ward Manuel, yesterday.
Yeah, I know who that is.
About your 2020 football season ticket. Different options that you have to support the athletic department during this uncertain time.
Oh, I have multiple options.
To give me a call back at 7.
Wait, listen to that. Balls. Listen to that bullshit, too.
Can I help you?
Why do they act like they're the only ones affected during COVID?
About your 2020 football season ticket. I'd love to walk you through the different options that you have to support the athletic department during this uncertain time. Feel free to give me a call back.
It's really to walk us through.
Walk me through all the options I have to support the school.
Times.
Wait, but you're I'm really suffering. I'm having problems with COVID. It's hurting me. So why am I always worried about somehow helping you?
Like I said on Thursday, what happens?
They've got $12 billion sitting there.
What happens in 4 years if I can't pay my seat? Personal seat contribution.
Okay, bye.
What? They're not going to cut me a deal?
You'll become part of the okay, bye program.
Wrong.
They're really gaslighting you into making you feel guilty and that you should donate the money.
I know. Virginia Tech used to do that to me when I used to own season tickets. I don't even know why I owned them.
Well, it's
I went to a couple games here and there.
It's still a donation. You used to be able to write them off.
Yeah, that's true. I'm excited about something. I want to read the complete. You don't have me on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the complete.
Is it Gary time?
Oh, it is Gary time.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. I better do this first. Oh, I haven't even studied yet.
So it's Gary time.
Oh, boy.
Are we off Facebook yet?
Are we in trouble? We're about to be.
It's Gary time.
Read what you got to read. Throw a plug in
the show to hear Gary grab.
It's Gary time.
Where'd that come from?
That's from Gary Shirley.
I like that. Yeah. Oh, Gary Shirley. I'm sure Gary would be delighted to be connected to Gary Shirley.
Second best Gary I know.
Things are getting wild at Zot Ford and Holly, and I mean wild because of the Bronco. You better reserve your new Ford Bronco right now with our friends at Zot Ford. Hoo-ha-ha! Go to ZotFord.com, follow the link to order your new Bronco Sport or full-size Bronco, two-door or four-door. Somebody's joking about all the Y-drops in the commercial, and I was like, wait, what is that Y-drops?
From Luke.
Well, I was reading a commercial.
From Luke. You said ask Luke why. Yeah, who was complaining?
No, they weren't complaining. They were laughing.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you take your pants off? My balls was hot. I understand.
That was one of the funniest things we've done in a long
time.
Why
does poop smell? And sometimes it's worse than others.
It was very appreciated.
Doesn't like poop smells.
The hype for the Bronco Sport, full-size, two-door, four-door, it's huge. And the Bronco will sell out before you know it. Plus, Zot's still offering the Ford Promise. Buy or lease a new or pre-loved vehicle. And if you get canceled in your first year of ownership, Ford will take your vehicle back, period. In fact, who's the Ford guy? Jim Hackett.
Oh, yeah.
He did buy, and they have returned his money. And no penalties. And the guy who took over for it, is his name Farley?
Yeah.
It's Chris Farley's cousin.
It is his cousin, isn't
Seriously.
It?
Seriously. And he sounds just like him.
I heard that he gets kind of irked when people bring that up.
Really?
I don't know, but this was, listen.
I'm serious.
He is. Doesn't this sound like Chris Farley? This is from his very first press conference.
Blah, 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 blah.
Welcome, James D. Farley Jr.
He started going through a bunch of stuff that Hackett left behind.
Oh, he's going through all his stuff?
God damn it!
Yeah. Wasn't
they
happy
without
this things
little
were
box.
Left.
Everything's tumbling out of the box as they shoved him out the door. That was ugly.
That was awesome.
He liked it.
Wanted him to go overseas and help with that, but he's better off in the U.S. because...
I'm sorry, I don't speak Japanese.
Any excuse to play the Chris Farley drops.
He was really mad, you know, at the Bronco, the release date, because they put it on OJ's birthday, and then they had to move it back.
That's right.
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Yeah, that was messy. No doubt.
So dumb.
The Lease Trifecta is back, though. Lease a new 2020 Ford EcoSport or a new 2020 Ford Escape all-wheel drive or a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4. Your choice of the three. Each one is as low as $166 a month. Zotford's Trifecta gives you a choice of three brand new Fords for just $166 a month. Go to dealsnitty.com and do it now.
He was Farley always was a good car salesman, too.
I got a 426 Hemi in her. Three-quarter cams, nitro boosters. I can get her up to as good as 155. Never do, though, of course, unless I'm chasing a cute chick in a Ferrari.
Saturday, there are 247 redemptions in Royal Oak from you guys who all signed up for your Royal Oak bucks, your $20, and you're spending it like crazy, and Royal Oak is doing fantastic. Jolly Pumpkin offered to bring us food. They must be doing very well. All the retailers are so happy, and the businesses. So anyway, lots of shops and restaurants you can attend in Royal Oak and use your Royal Oak bucks, which you're spending wildly and you need to keep spending. Little Tree Sushi Bar, Super Type, UHF, the record store where I got my Ram pin and my Marshall Crenshaw 45. Whenever you're on my mind. Hoo-ah! The Dirt Label. Blue Jean Blues, and so on and so forth. Then they have the Lyft program, too, on Thursday and Friday. If you can get, you get $10 off your Lyft ride into town. If you remember, G-O-2-R-O. G-O, the number 2-R-O, $10 off. And then when you go home, after a few pops, you can get $10 off your ride home with Lyft and that code. Go to Royal Oak. So there. And Saturday, Sunday, it's 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. So you can hang out in town all day spending your 20 Royal Oak dollars. And I think you might want to spend some more money, too, which is the whole point of the thing. And it's working brilliantly. People are just loving it. So happy about that for the city of Royal Oak. And the DDA, man, they really kicked ass on this. I think they're...
Yeah.
There's some people are saying...
Oh, really?
There could be a national award coming.
Oh, well, they should get one.
They're being nominated for an award, apparently. They're really good. But on to bigger things, like Mr. Big Stuff. Gary Graff! Hey, Gary.
Good afternoon. How are you?
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right.
Were you bummed about the Pirates losing to the Tigers today?
You know, that's a mixed bag. That's a mixed bag. It's you know, it's win-win, really. But can't say the Pirates bullpen established themselves as much during the weekend. So.
No, pretty rough week. You know, 2 days ago the Tigers were batting .222 and had a 5.63 ERA, and somehow they were 6-3. I'm like, how are they doing this?
You know, baseball's a funny sport, and let's not forget, even in a 60-game season, it's a marathon. So let's be cautiously happy now.
Well, I heard something about your softball team was defeated last night. Some people were saying...
Today.
Oh, today.
Ooh. Today.
Sorry to hear that.
You know, it was expected.
Did you get any hits?
I was robbed. How's that?
Robbed by who?
Robbed twice by good fielding.
Oh. Wait, you were robbed by a 60-year-old guy?
They're not 60.
Oh, they're not?
No, our team is the old Cockers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How young was this whippersnapper?
We were beaten by the whippersnappers, or the comparative whippersnappers.
I see.
Their median was probably somewhere in the lower to mid-30s, and our median somewhere in the 50s.
Wow.
Impressive. Still not that young.
But
we're
still upright, walking
athletes.
Off the field. Yeah, off the field. That's the important thing.
So, Gary, what's going on in Sturgis? There's a lot of big bands playing. 38
man.
Specials playing? I mean, some serious. Molly Hatchet?
Smash Mouth?
Big is kind of relative. I mean, you know, I think more impressive really is the list of bands that didn't play, that actually pulled out of it. You know, early on, and then didn't come back, or just, you know, aren't part of it. We're supposed to play, like ZZ Top was supposed to be part of it. There were a few other, you know, what we would call significant bands, and so they kind of left it to the 38 Specials of the world to play there, the Smash Mouths and Saving Abels and Buck Cherries and Drowning Pools. I think Bone Thugs and Harmony are up there.
Well,
Great White, you know, we're going to write
Great
it
White.
Up. Oh, I didn't say that. The interesting one, of course, is Quiet Riot is on the bill. And, you know, Frankie Benali, their drummer, who's and founding members in the midst of a cancer battle. And he's up there in Super Spreader Land.
Mm. But they are on stage. I mean, they are socially distanced as much as anyone.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. You'd have to talk to scientists about how that works. If you have thousands of people packed in front of you to the stage,
yelling
singing back
you.
To you, because singing is, you know, you talk to a lot of churches now and houses of worship. You know, they've foregone their choirs because singing. Yeah.
Oh.
You know, spreads it much more forcefully. It makes sense.
Well, is Frankie behind some plastic? Is he in like a plastic booth, like in a studio, maybe?
I don't know. He's on stage. Maybe they use some dividers, but...
Could he be a bubble drummer?
He could be. I doubt it.
What a cool idea.
Not the case.
Well, when I saw Blondie, their drummer was behind a bubble.
Some are. And often those are... That's a sign that the drummer plays louder than they want the rest of the band wants them to on stage.
So they baffle
the drummer, so that not confuse the drummer, but they put baffles around the drummer.
You know, when you're talking about the bands that, you know, pulled out and the bands that did play, I'm thinking that there are probably a lot of people who are bigger than we even would imagine who really are missing a lot of revenue and the lifestyles they live.
They are. You know, there's no question about it. And listen, more bands than I think people realize really are comparatively working stiffs. I mean, they're not all the bands we mentioned, the Collective Souls of the world, even up to the Foreigners and Journeys. Yeah, they earn well, but it's not Paul McCartney money.
It's not
Rolling Stones money. So they count, you know, they do live for these annual touring cycles that they do.
And they don't have the publishing money like they used to have, which I think really sucks, personally.
Yeah.
I mean,
you still get money for what you wrote and what you sold.
But not like you used to, though. Now they get this, you know, this, a few pennies for a spin for free?
Well, from the streaming service.
Yeah, the streaming services.
Yeah, no, and so, you know, sales are down, so you don't get the publishing royalty you would get from a sale. And then, yeah, you're right. It's pennies, mere pennies for streaming.
I would think you would hear better songs in movie soundtracks now because of that, because that's one way they can make money, but I don't know if that's true.
Well, you guys, now here's the thing. If you're the music supervisor on a film, yeah, it's all well and good and cool to get a name band and maybe a hit song. On the other hand, if you can get a cheaper song that serves your purpose as well and possibly turn that into a hit through the strength of your movie.
Which does happen.
Oh, it happens quite a bit.
You know, I don't want to interrupt you, Gary, but
sure.
I will.
Go ahead.
We were talking about this list of the top 50 music soundtracks of all time, and so I was just wondering if you could throw in a couple, maybe not like the Woodstock soundtrack, but, you know, movies, regular movies that pick this artist and that artist to tell their story a little better.
Well, I mean, you got to look at stuff like, Saturday Night Fever, king of, you know, one of the kings.
That was number three.
Of them all. Now I'm blanking. Tom Cruise movie where he
Vanilla Sky?
No, where he was
Jerry Maguire?
No, even where he did Old Time Rock and Roll.
Oh my God, we're blanking too.
Risky Business.
There was a lot of stuff in. There were a lot of key songs in that soundtrack that movie helped to elevate. So, you know, I mean, there's tons.
Cameron Crowe.
Singles.
Cameron Crowe
did a lot of singles, and you mentioned Jerry Maguire and a number of others.
Almost Famous.
Right. So, you almost have to differentiate in movies, too. Movies that use existing source material and movies like we described, you know, Saturday Night Fever, that use songs composed especially for the movie, Purple Rain, you know?
That was number one.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that was a whole package. That wasn't just a movie, but it was, movie, new album, you know, tour.
Right.
Establish somebody as a star.
You know,
it was
a monster.
You know what album was not on that list that Buddy reminded me of this weekend? Godzilla. Do you remember the Godzilla soundtrack? I'm sure you do, Gary.
The one with Jimmy Page and
Puff
and
Daddy. Yeah, which was... Oh.
What did that have beyond that version of Cash?
Wallflowers and Heroes.
Right, you're right.
Rage Against the Machine, No Shelter.
There was some cool stuff on there.
Yeah,
you know, I'm thinking Bad Lieutenant with Harvey Keitel had an interesting version of Cashmere, too. I don't remember who did that.
I think you're right. And I also don't remember.
thank you, Gary. I would like to, you remember the important part, that I'm right. I kind of want to hear that Puff Daddy version.
Oh, yeah, that was out for a while. There was a lot of controversy, I remember, when that came out, because was it a, and I think it was around the surrounding various awards that it was nominated for, too, because it was a new version of an old song, so should it have been eligible? Because the source material was so old and already established.
Yeah,
and I remember there was a lot of discussion about that, and there were a lot of Zeppelin fans who hated it just because it was a rapper involved in it.
So what I remember about that is, and to his credit, because he was trying to expand, but Puffy was trying to get rock stations to play that song.
Yeah. He so came to Riff, didn't he?
He came in,
yeah.
Riff. I think you were already gone by then when he came. Not, I think you had left the building for the day.
Oh,
didn't
man.
You when he came in?
I remember he came in, and I don't remember meeting him, so I think I was gone.
Led to one of the most awkward moments of my life, because we were the only office that had a TV with a VCR. So he put the video on, and, you know, he's getting into it, and I'm just kind of sitting there going, why is Puff Daddy in our office right now watching this video? This is very awkward.
Did they do that live? Was it Saturday Night Live or was it the MTV Music Awards?
I think it was MTV Music Awards.
Yeah, I remember seeing a version of that, and Jimmy looked very awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
In that situation.
Oh, man. See, that's so cool to me. I'm not crazy about these songs that I love so much being used in that way, but if it gives a song additional life, then that's a good thing.
And if it works for the film.
Yeah,
that's fine too.
Well, the soundtrack was better than that film, though. That's the problem.
That's true. It was not a when the lips and the words are in sync, it's not a Godzilla movie.
You're right. Yeah, just take something away from
well,
it.
Well, Mark's digging that up.
It's hard to find. You would not believe how hard.
Really?
It is to find. Yeah, it's not.
What is it hard to find? Is it new Tom Petty track?
No. Well, I mean that is easy to find. It was hard to do the quiz.
Oh. I see.
I'm sure Gary didn't even have to do the quiz. They just sent it to him.
They're talking about this, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to answer some questions in order to hear the new Tom Petty track?
Did you know that?
I did that, yeah. I just listened to it when they sent it around.
Oh, so I see. Yeah. So you didn't have to do the quiz, in other words.
I was not quizzed, no.
That is so big stuffy of you not doing the quiz.
Do you want to take the quiz, Gary?
I think you should have to pass it.
It could be fun.
All right, five questions. On what day was Tom Petty's Wildflowers released?
What day of the week?
God. Well, it gives you four choices.
What was the year, 94?
Yeah, well.
What are the choices, Mark? Give them the choices and no hints.
94, they have November 1st, 94, November 9th, 95, July 30th, 75, or April 1st, 2002. So there's really two.
Well, we know it was 94.
Correct.
What famous drummer played on the song? I can't read the rest of that, Brandon. I'm sorry. Played on the song To Find a Friend.
That was Steve Ferroni, because he was in the Heartbreakers.
Wait, that's not the McCartney song, is it?
Your choices are Keith Moon, Stuart Copeland, Ringo Starr, or Levon Helm.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Those are wrong.
What?
Steve Ferroni played on that track.
What, then no one gets to hear the song ever?
I hold it. Ringo Starr also played on the song.
There you go. Okay. That was the answer, Ringo.
Yeah.
What's the next question, Brandon?
Brandon?
What was the name of the massive...
Oh, Brandon's stuffing his face with food. He can't answer.
What was the name of the massive 88-show tour Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers embarked on in support of the Wildflowers album?
The Wildflowers World Tour?
Oh, wait, listen to your choices, Gary.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'll get my choices. Go ahead.
Pigs Can Fly, Dogs with Wings, Into the Great Wide Open Tour, or the Wildflowers Tour?
I believe I already answered that.
Okay. And is that your final answer?
Snob.
That's my final answer.
That's your final answer?
No, Into the Great Wide Open Tour was actually the one they did for that album.
Wrong.
Not really.
Dogs with Wings, apparently,
really?
Is the answer.
Okay, never mind.
I guess we can't hear the track.
I thought that was a Roger Waters tour.
Besides Tom Petty, this one's a softball. Besides Tom Petty and Mike Campbell... What's the rest of it, Brandon? I can't read it. Sorry.
Brandon's still stuffing his face. Jesus.
What Def Jam recordings...
Rick Rubin.
Could you please wait for the answers?
I know, but that one was just a...
True or false, Wildflowers is the second solo album by Tom Petty.
That is true.
Well done.
Yes.
Very, very
Was
good.
The first one Full Moon Fever?
Yeah.
Can I get a ding for that, please?
That's such a good album.
Very good.
How many tracks is George Harrison on that, by the way?
On Full Moon Fever?
Yes.
With two, maybe?
Okay, just asking.
He doesn't have to take your quiz. You're not going to give him a song.
Well, I'm just asking. I'm just blooping. I'm just blooping around. Sorry.
So did you like the song?
Yeah. It sounds like a song that they did it and wasn't included. I mean, it does sound like a leftover.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same punch as all the finished songs on Wildflowers.
Are we allowed to hear it?
All I got was a scream.
Brandon?
There you go. That's not it. It's download in the bottom corner there. Yeah.
Brandon, can you please join the show?
I am.
You got food in one hand. Your mouth's been stuffed. Is this a song?
Yeah, this is it. I never forgot what it's called.
There goes Angela, Dream Away.
That's right. Thank you, Gary.
Anytime.
Sounds like a Tom Petty song so far.
There goes Angela down 16th Avenue, going to the store.
And I'm thinking, does Tom Petty have any real ballads that work? Afternoon. I mean, ballads, Gary?
Like story song ballads?
Well, just slow, soft ballads.
Yeah, he has a few ballads. The Insider, he did.
Oh, yeah, Insider's great with Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
Love it.
Blue. Yeah, no, he usually has a ballad or two on an album or a slow song, you know, a slower song.
I can't think of that many off the top of my head for some reason.
I mean, there were a bunch on Wildflowers.
Which is a great record.
Yeah.
Okay, the new Prince song. Do we have to do a quiz for that?
No, they just kind of they threw it out there, and this is the Tom Petty. By the way, that's from there. There's going to be a Wildflowers Deluxe Edition come out with a bunch of these other songs that they did. Similarly, Prince is doing one for Sign of the Times, and he just put out one called Cosmic Day this week, and it's the second one. He had another song out a couple weeks ago, so they're rolling teasers out for that album too.
What's the name of the Prince track? Maybe we get Brandon reinvolved in the show again.
The Prince track is called Cosmic Day.
Brandon is eating so fast. Oh my God, Cosmic Day, Brandon.
Well, if you feed him once in a while,
is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got it on.
Who's that singing, Gary?
I mean, that's Prince through, that's Prince in his falsetto. Oh, the duet singer?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who the woman is.
I don't think I like these found tracks, Gary.
I was not a fan of this when I listened to it earlier.
Sign of the Times? Or the song?
I love Sign of the Times. Yeah. I love it. But I don't like this track. But speaking of reissues, Gary, I'll go ahead and throw it out there. Flaming Pie.
Yeah.
Did you get to listen to it at all?
Paul McCartney, I did. You know, there's a 2-CD version, and then there's the one that's whatever, 4 CDs, 2 DVDs, a back scratcher, and whatever else they send you with it. It's good. I mean, this is a Paul McCartney album I always liked. And it's just, it's a pleasant album. You know, you could tell he was really inspired doing this. I think having some good collaborators be part of it. You know, Steve Miller was involved in it.
Ringo.
He was involved in it more than people kind of realize.
Yeah, I heard there's 9 tracks, but they used 2 on the album. There's one that's a B-side. I love the B-side, Broomstick. And also, let's see, who else? Oh, Jeff Lynne. Jeff Lynne produces more than half the album.
And this was kind of coming, you know, in the wake of the Beatles anthology and everything. And, you know, Paul kind of discovered Jeff Lynne through, you know, mostly through George Harrison.
Yes.
And, you know, George Martin was part of this as well. So it had this home, you know, he co-wrote one of the songs with Ringo. So it has this kind of, you know, home, almost back to being Paul feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was very relaxed sounding and, you know, kind of, and more confident. It didn't sound as forced as some of the other albums he had done.
Yes. No, it is. It's one of my favorite solo Beatles albums, which is an interesting category. Bloop.
I wanted to ask you about the Go-Go's documentary on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing out of that in the end is that people are surprised that they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they believe it's because of the whole controversy over the Rolling Stone cover.
Yeah, no. they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. First of all, they've never been on the nominating ballot, even. Secondly, I'll debate these guys. You know, I mean, I like the Go-Go's. I think they're good. They definitely broke some ground.
They're the first all-female band playing their instruments to have a number one album.
Yeah,
I mean,
but look how long of a sentence you had to create there.
that's a fair point.
Okay,
well,
you know.
Honestly, Gary, come on. There's all-male bands that are number one all the time.
Sure, but they, you know, I think in terms of having a big, long history and a heritage and a legacy that earns you what should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think they're a little light.
Are there a three-album band, and the third album and the second album
aren't very
good.
Actually, there's a fourth album.
Oh, there's a fourth.
There was a fourth album, God Save the Go-Go's.
And there's a new track, too.
It was like 18 years later. They didn't mention it in the documentary.
Yeah, they didn't. Is there anything on it worth listening to?
It was decent, you know, but, you know, they had that great misfortune of having an almost perfect debut album, and then because it was so good and so successful, basically being rushed through everything in their career. This is a rock and roll tale as old as time. Mm-hmm. You know, Boston, for instance, their second album.
They took their time.
You know, they didn't. No, and the second album was rushed.
Second album was rushed?
Don't Look Back was rushed.
Wait, I thought that was like 5 years later, wasn't it?
No, it was 2 years, which back in the 70s was an eternity.
Okay, that's funny because I think of it.
Tom Scholz would have taken another 4 years on that album if he had his way.
Are there any all-female bands or groups in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Not of musicians.
The Runaways?
Groups. The Runaways aren't in.
They're not in.
No, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts were not an all-female band. You know, you have some of the vocal groups, but you don't have any playing group.
Well, I don't think that big long sentence was so outrageous that I came
up with. Did they have a historic achievement? Yes. Are they a historic band? I don't know. I don't know. They're good. You know, good. I mean, Beauty and the Beat.
It's really good.
Still an album I love.
I'm just shocked they've never been nominated.
Yeah, no, they've never even been on the ballot. And, you know, if you saw, speaking of documentaries, the Susie Quattro documentary, which was very good, and I know you guys spoke to her, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, part of the campaign behind that documentary is, you know, why isn't Susie in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame too? And she was particular, when I talked to her, not this year but last year, she really got off on the idea that Joan Jett would get in before she would.
Susie, you know, I didn't really know her entire legacy. She's from Detroit, first of all,
right?
And she's got a bunch of sisters. Yeah. And maybe a brother that plays music, too?
The whole family.
Yeah, a really cool family.
And if you want to talk about landmark bands, those two bands that the sisters were in, the Pleasure Seekers and Cradle. I mean, and think about what a high testosterone rock scene Detroit was at that time. Mm. And here were these all-female bands, you know, holding their own and going toe-to-toe with these guys.
I had to go a little deep to appreciate Susie Quattro, because I always thought of her as, you know, being on Happy Days.
Right.
She was Leather Tuscadera. And then stumbling in that adorable video.
Uh-huh.
But she could rock, and she could play the bass, man.
Oh, yeah. No, good, you know, good musician, good songwriter. She had on those first couple, three albums that she made back in the 70s. You know, you had the Chin and Chapman team behind her. I mean, there's a lot there. There's a legacy. That's, to me, you know, that's almost the opposite of the Go-Go. She didn't have the success, but boy, did she have the legacy and the impact.
There are a couple other things that I think go hand in hand, and one is that we're in the 50-year anniversary weekend of the Goose Lake International Music Festival.
Yep.
And also the Cream Magazine documentary is getting a lot of chat. I saw Rolling Stone has a nice article about it.
New York Times had a big article.
Yeah, they did too.
It opened wide. Last year it played the festival circuit. This year the Cream documentary, you know, this weekend, it opened, you know, as a kind of pay-per-view, what do they call it, virtual cinema feature. And then later this month it goes on the digital services.
Well, I'm really happy for them because Cream Magazine was so cool. It was so big, and they it was such a music magazine too. It loved music, whereas Rolling Stone ignored music.
Well, I wouldn't say they ignored music. Rolling Stone had its particular
their favorites.
Taste and take on music, whereas Cream was about all rock and roll music for all people.
They celebrated it, though.
I mean, they had fun. They had fun with it.
Look how long Rolling Stone ignored heavy metal.
Right.
I mean, that's. I think it's almost unforgivable.
They ignored a lot.
I don't forgive them.
They were a snootier magazine. Still
yeah,
are,
were.
In a way.
Yes.
You know, Crawdaddy too, which was the other big publication around the time that Cream.
I remember Crawdaddy.
Yeah. And then, but Cream took the proverbial piss out of music, and they wrote as fans, but they wrote as serious fans. So if you offended a writer at Cream with your music, you know. In fact, Joan Jett tells that great story in the movie about how they trashed the Runaways album, and she came to the office looking for the writer who she said, you know, exited the back door or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on her bad side.
No,
but I thought the documentary was fantastic. I really liked it.
No, it really was. It was, and you know, here in Detroit, we're going to appreciate it a little more because all the action, if you will, took place here.
Amen.
So we know the sights as well as the sounds.
And moving on to Goose Lake, I feel like this event just doesn't get its due, no matter what.
Well, there were a number at the time. First of all, it happened in the Midwest, so it was not on a coast like Woodstock or Altamont or Monterey Pop
or even the
Atlanta Pop Festival, which got a little more attention than Goose Lake.
But Miami Pop Festival got a lot of attention.
Yeah,
too.
And those were coastal. Those were bigger cities. Those were in cities, which is a difference. You know, Goose Lake was out in the Michigan countryside.
Well, how is she going to get 200,000 people in there? Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, but you had a big plot of land and everything. But, you know, it really, I understand why it didn't get that much attention. It's interesting. Tom Wright, who was the stage manager, he was the Grandy Ballroom manager, and the stage manager at Goose Lake, and he writes about how, you know, they did have press there, including the coastal press, including Rolling Stone, but would not give them backstage access. And so they got ticked off and didn't write about the festival. So his theory is that's what caused Goose Lake to not get the attention it deserved.
Why did Goose Lake not kiss the asses of these writers?
I don't know. You know, it could be that Detroit attitude.
Uh-huh.
You know, we don't like you. You're not one of ours. You know, go away. We let you in for free. and we're making sure nobody beats you up. Now go enjoy the festival.
But,
I could see that being part of it.
That's funny. You writers are so snobby, Gary. Would you have done that if they screwed you?
No, I wouldn't have done that.
You would have written about it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not so sure about that.
Would have trashed it, but I would have not. I wouldn't have trashed it, but...
Okay, Mark's wearing a Nirvana shirt, which reminded me of something I was thinking about today as I was listening to Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, who I love. I was trying to think, is there, and this is right off the top of your head, so that you may struggle with this, but I was trying to think of another band that had someone so talented virtually hiding in the band like Dave Grohl.
And come out, you know.
Yeah,
come
and actually come out. And I mean, I was trying to think, and I'm going, well, the Genesis guys, Tony Banks did stuff, Mike and the Mechanics, and Phil Collins.
Well,
you could
give Phil credit for having been the drummer and then fronting the band and then going on to the solo career he kind of had.
Yeah, and they looked for people for a long time to replace Peter Gabriel, and they finally said, okay, Phil.
Yeah, Phil took the reins there. You know, that's a great question. It merits some more thought than we have time for
okay.
here, but there aren't that many.
No.
I wanted to ask you another thing that's kind of flown under the radar, kind of like Goose Lake, is that it's been 25 years since Jerry Garcia died.
Yep.
Wow.
It's not flying under the radar today. If you look online, it's in social media. You know, everybody's remembering it, including me.
Yeah, well, that's what raised my awareness to it, because you tweeted out a picture of all your clippings when you interviewed him.
Yeah, big pile.
And it's a huge pile. I was impressed.
I'll retweet that.
That's pretty cool.
But, you know, it's... You know, and I think some of these are, especially given what we're, you know, everything we're in now between pandemic and social unrest and a presidential campaign, some of this stuff is creeping up on us.
Mm-hmm.
So it really was, you like woke up, I think a lot of people woke up this week and it was like, oh yeah, that happened on August 9th. And it was 25 years ago.
What was he like to interview?
He was a nice interview. He really was. He was just, you know, kind of laid back. fairly down to earth. Loved to talk about music more than he liked to talk about the iconography of the Grateful Dead. And he loved to talk about music he liked. So if you got him going on bluegrass and roots music and stuff like that, he would carry it for an hour.
I just watched that long series on the Grateful Dead on Prime, Amazon Prime, which I really, really enjoyed. And it was funny because they said one of the last great interviews Jerry gave was some, I don't know if it was a magazine or what, but it was about horror movies. And they were like, hey, Jerry, you want to talk about your favorite horror movie or something? They're doing a feature. And Jerry's like, yeah, absolutely. And they said, you know, Jerry wasn't really excited about doing interviews, but he gave them a lot of time and had a ball doing it, I guess.
Yeah, so many of these musicians, especially the ones in these bands that are iconic and legendary, if they want to talk about other stuff, you know, Metallica, James Hetfield wants to talk about cars. Lars wants to talk about art and movies. Kirk Hammett wants to talk about horror films. He's a big horror film buff, and you know these guys would much rather talk about their interests and their other passions than about their band.
I get it. Finally, Gary, how about the video for Scarlet, the Rolling Stones? Did you like the song, and is the video good?
I like the song. Song sounds like an outtake.
It does.
You know, and I thought the video was imaginative and engaging. I think we all would have loved to have studio footage of Jimmy Page recording with the Rolling Stones, Jimmy Page and Rick Gretsch, even. But I thought the video was engaging. They, you know, it was a good way to breathe life into an old and maybe sonically challenged track.
We wanted to get an interview with the writer who gave the
Pitchfork. Yeah,
Pitchfork. He gave an 8 to the Taylor Swift album, and he was doxxed and threatened, and his family was threatened. And, I mean, it really sounded like it was a mess. And I've seen this where, you know, people have gotten doxxed for various things. It really is a big pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
And he wouldn't do an interview. I guess we tried to get an interview, and we're not able to get one. But what is with this Taylor Swift fans? I mean, it sounds like a really dangerous cult.
They're passionate. You know, I'll give them that. And if you have anything to say that's even not positive enough, as you see in the Pitchfork review, you know, an 8's pretty good.
But what's wrong with these people? I mean, honestly.
They love their girl.
Doxing people, though? I mean.
I know. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, if somebody says something good about your artist, you should be happy.
Yeah. I love reading
especially
nice
something like Pitchfork, which is all about being hip.
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift would seem to be the antithesis of anything and that Pitchfork would want to do. But
they give a lot of bad reviews, too. Didn't do that bad.
No, she did very well for Pitchfork.
All right, one final question. Did you like Hamilton?
The actual stage play or the Disney Plus?
Either or.
Jesus.
I liked it on stage, and I thought they did a fine job with Disney Plus. It's... Yeah, you know, I was glad it's not going to be eligible for an Oscar because it's not a film. It's just they set up cameras and they filmed the show on stage, and it was good. They did a good job, and it's fun to see the original cast.
Well, you guys can get a room and go watch Hamilton all day.
Drew gives me shit because I thought it was fucking great.
Oh, it's good. No, it's a great musical. So if you're going to show it as it's presented on stage, it's going to be great.
Well, I haven't seen it, and I agree.
You won't see it.
I agree with Larry David, who said he thinks people watched it and said it was good because they think they're supposed to say it's good. And
well, you have to watch it to make your own judgment.
He won't watch it,
Mark. I think we should do like a socially distanced outside. you know, get a big screen and watch it, and you, Mark and I can sing along.
Yeah. Okay,
he would be so miserable.
We can talk about that.
You would hate it, Gary.
I don't think I'd like it, but anyway, Gary, thank you. Great stuff. As always.
You guys, everybody stay safe.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, Gary. Bye-bye.
You're never gonna get my love. Just stop, big stuff.
You know, I was trying to remember...
you're never gonna break my heart. Just stop, big stuff.
When we were talking about...
You're never gonna make me cry.
Del Shannon that Jeff Lynne produced, and I said, Jeff Lynne makes... Did we play the McCartney song I was talking about where Jeff Lynne made him sound like the Traveling Wilburys?
Yes.
We did. Okay.
I don't... Oh, boy.
Brandon,
do you remember? Are you done eating? Do you remember?
I am done meeting, yes. And no, I do not remember.
It's called The World Tonight. Maybe you know, maybe it's just a bloop, big bloop, and I don't remember it.
Played it for me. Brandon, what did you have for dinner?
I can't remember if we played in the show or not. I guess we did.
What did you have for dinner?
I just had some burritos and stuff like that.
You can't identify the rest of the meal?
There were some chips and some cheese and burritos.
Mark, just maybe to get Brandon off his feet and moving again, do you think you could read the we had the About Us category on the Drew and Mike website, and it says coming soon, as someone once said, it was coming soon, C-O-M-M-I-N-G. And then 4 years later, it still wasn't there. It still said coming soon, so people were a little confused. And we were joking, asking people to maybe they can create something for us. And I thought, without getting into the other stuff, I thought the one thing, was it Kelly?
Yeah.
I thought the brand description was phenomenal. The original, not the edited version.
And I put it on our site, but Brandon, did you take it down?
No.
Who updated our About Us and put pictures in there?
Well, I fixed grammar errors and stuff because I thought it looked kind of silly without punctuation.
Did you put pictures in there?
I did put pictures in there.
Why'd you cut down Kelly's bio?
Yeah, it's not complete.
Very sad now.
Well, why do I have two bios? That looks, Kelly wrote looks like one, I'm trying to be cool.
He wrote one specifically for you.
I wanted to hear the long one. The long one is fantastic. It's so all-encompassing, and I laughed out loud a couple times reading it.
I love the fact that he wrote it just for you. he didn't do a bio for anyone else. Okay, he wrote, early life, Brandon McAfee was born in about 1984 in a small town in mid-north Michigan. Is that correct?
I guess it was. Yes, it was in 1984. Mid-north Michigan, the thumb.
Okay. Brandon has overcome many setbacks from early life, including extensive therapy for severely undersized hands.
It's incorrect. I've never had to have any type of physical therapy for my hands. They are a perfect normal size. I actually am above average in height of the normal male on the planet Earth, so I don't think these hands are that small, but continue.
In separation from a childhood best friend who may or may not be incarcerated today.
He is currently not incarcerated, but... yes, maybe somebody found him through a mugshot, but what if that was just for, like, speeding or something? Continue.
Perhaps the most formative experience of his young life was when the family adopted a homeless man known only as Al.
It's not true. I did know his last name, and it wasn't that formative.
I don't think
formative.
We need a commentary any further. I think you should just read it, Mark.
And he wasn't adopted either. Though it is stated that, quote, nothing happened during the time that they shared a bedroom, which what is certain is that the period ended in disaster with homeless Al absconding with Brandon's father's musical equipment and promptly disappearing. One other notable occurrence was homeless Al's van mysteriously catching fire in the family driveway, an event that would foreshadow later struggles in Brandon's life. Very true.
I guess.
Though filled with controversy,
call 911!
The period largely passed with the uneventful activities of watching wrestling and urinating from the second story window together.
It's not true. We never peed together. Yeah, there was
assumed.
You're splitting
if somebody
hairs.
Did. You were a younger kid. You were influenced by him. Of course you did.
You blocked it out.
No, there's two windows. The left window is in case you wanted to hang out the window or smoke a cigarette out the window if you were out. And the right window was specifically for you, Ryan. That way, if any dripple gets on.
But if a teenager's with a homeless guy who's older and he's doing it, the teenager's going to do it. And eventually it's going to lead to swords. So.
Crossing, yeah.
No commentary.
There was
Brandon's teenage years were also filled with challenges ranging from outbursts in a moving vehicle, about the unacceptable quality of a Green Day album, up to and including incidents with underage girls in international waters. I forgot about that.
Thanks for throwing that out and making me look like a pedophile. I'm not a
pedophile. That's not a pedophile.
That might be one of the reasons why I took it off, too.
The light kissing is referenced.
I don't want people to Google me. Hey, what if someone wants to give me a job one day? And hey, let's look at Brandon. Oh, here he is with underage girls on this website here. Oh, this is great. Yeah.
He followed it up.
He wrote, very smart of you to keep this up, Brandon.
Nothing has been proven, but most agree that the incident didn't pass the widely recognized point of light kissing. A number of other incidents include bare-knuckle fighting, sparring with school administrators, and many periods of binge drinking while listening to ATM's I Got Bitches Endlessly.
Nice being able to take a joke, by the way.
This isn't a bio. This is a hit piece.
It's a bio. It's in fun.
I've never had anything to do with no underage anything. So let's strike that from the record.
Well, let's quote him on that. I never had anything to do with no underage anything. We had that quote to it, please.
It sounds very Evan Marriott.
Now, what, is there anything left? There's more, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. After many life struggles, Brandon was finally introduced to the famed Drew and Mike show, beginning his storied career with the program. What really capped this time of Brandon's life, though, was meeting the woman of his dreams, Kristen. However, even the happiest time of his life couldn't pass without hardships. While on the honeymoon, an aggressive to-do list was authored by his wife.
Aggressive.
It was ambitious.
Was
no, it wasn't. I asked her. I said, hey, I need a list of things more attention that need to be completed.
All right. We'll never get through this.
It was leaked by the media and widely panned as Boston and Panther. Brandon and Kristen managed to stay together through the years, eventually giving birth to a daughter. Kristen also makes Brandon dinner every night. Brandon and Kristen also found common ground bonding over their late dog, Bill. It's very nice. The bond gave him unshakable confidence to fight Bill's sometimes sudden erections. And even combined emergency shopping trips for
it's
loose.
It's not accurate. He didn't have just sudden random erections. He had
paraphilosis. You guys successfully fought his erection.
You can together. Google it. It's in your Encyclopedia Britannica. Paraphimosis. It's common.
Out of all the Brandon stories, that's still my favorite, that you were sent to buy hot dogs and lube.
That's true.
I know.
I think it's an important part of the bio. Continue.
As common with careers in radio, Brandon had worked in many markets, starting with the law degree from the now defunct ITT Technical Institute, while culminating in producing several shows for the Red Shovel Network. Brandon's career includes a period in the beautiful Traverse City, a time that Brandon survived only thanks to the wise financial decisions of renting property from his boss and investing his earnings at Speedway, thus allowing him to survive off the rewards points he had accumulated. His time in Traverse City can be best summed up as view of the bay, half the pay. Many consider Brandon to be the top producer in the Detroit market. His talent for knowing exactly what drop to play at the exact right moment leaves thousands laughing while listening to the Drew and Mike podcast. Despite not being able to keep his excessive flatulence out of range of his microphone, his work ethic is unmatched. He often stays up till 3 or 4 a.m. to produce a single boner line segment for the show.
Is there a boner line today, by the way?
No. I just got back from Northern Michigan.
Oh, we don't want to screw with your schedule. Don't
10 get me wrong. Minutes before we got back.
What were you doing up north?
Is that the end of the bio?
Yeah, pretty much.
So like a couple months ago, we tried to plan this trip.
Let me finish the last sentence of the bio. Like him or hate him, you won't forget his name, and neither will he because it's tattooed right across his back.
God damn it. It's a hit piece.
This Kelly has an amazing memory. I mean, amazing.
Yeah. Formerly of Berkeley.
I think it was left out.
This is Kelly.
Please, Kelly or anyone else, if you think of anything that's left out of that bio,
your parents gave you a girly name to toughen you up. I like it.
So, Traverse City was good?
No, it was good. Yeah, we were supposed to be up there for a trip, but...
It's very difficult
to plan time off around this show.
It is.
I asked for about 2 months, and I couldn't get it. So we just ended up going for one night, which was a little odd. But,
wait, what? Who wouldn't give you a day off? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I had been trying to ask for this particular past weekend for quite some time. It was very difficult to get an answer. Hence why
Trudy, you could have taken a day off, eh?
Well, just always ask on the air from now on, because
I didn't remember saying you couldn't have a day. I don't remember saying you couldn't have a day off. I mean, we need days off.
We've been kicking that day off the summer vacation down the can
of the road. Honestly, I don't mind taking it. I'll take it this week if you want.
A lot of it was me. I'll admit that. I omit it.
I forgot to mention, by the way, that we were on the Hall Financial Hotline with Gary Graff earlier today.
Yes.
And Hall Financial... I was on that sales call, and things are booming since I was on that sales call. People are just killing it.
Just with Halsey?
How long is Drew going to keep mentioning that he was on a sales call?
I was. It was in the morning call. It was a big Zoom. There were a lot of people. It was nerve-wracking.
Oh, you were Zoomed in, too?
I was Zoomed in. And all these people are refinancing now. They're getting great rates from Hall Financial. They're saving lots of money. And, I've got an email from somebody who said that Hall pointed them in the direction of someone else they thought could better serve them. And they got a 2.89 or something,
wow.
And they saved a bunch of money. Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, they're looking out for you guys. Low rates mean value. If you are anywhere above, like, a 3.5, you should call, or you're cheating yourself. You hate yourself if you don't call if you're over 3.5. Yeah. So call 248-308-5000 or go to davidallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. Click the link on our website, and fill out the form, and they'll get back to you pronto. They average 19 days. Unfortunately, a couple of our listeners have brought that average up. NMLS number 1467435 and Chrysler, Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsIndeed.com is all fired up. Everybody's back. They've got all the safety regulations in place, and they are moving some wheels, some to people that they actually deliver because they don't want to go into the showroom. And if that's you, then they can work that out too. Go to DealsIndeed.com. Look at your options, and they'd be happy to, well, for example, Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Drive Forward event has the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month. If you like Jeeps, Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. There's always a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And, of course, the Wrangler. Right now, get Zot employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing, and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, go to DealsIndeed.com and see whatever it is you're missing at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Somebody was kind enough to send me a... This is so funny. It's a gamer, I guess. Maybe it's a game creator. And she puts these really sexy pictures of herself on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
And she's hot.
Oh, she
is. Her name is Emma Lane.
Oh!
Nice.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, she's very hot.
Where do you buy a dress like that?
I don't know.
Okay, Mr. Lane.
But I just could not stop. I couldn't stop reading because there's like 900 comments on some pictures, and they're just such classics. Here's the first one. You look absolutely stunning in this one. Jeez. Curves are divine.
Curves are divine.
You are a spectacular girl. You're beautiful, sexy, and a fantastic girl and cosplayer.
Oh, God.
Is this on Instagram?
No, it's on Facebook.
Facebook.
Oh, my Lord, you're amazing, Emma. All I can say is phenomenal.
Ew.
Sit in my face while I give you the good old tongue tornado.
Okay. Throw up, tongue tornado.
The old tongue
like
tornado.
Some chick's going to get wet because you said tongue tornado.
Am I the only
one? I learned this from American Pie.
Am I the only one who zoomed in on this picture? You look so pretty, Emma. Wish I was on that bed with you.
Ew.
God love you so much. He sent you his only begotten son to die for you. God love you so.
Wait.
So do I, the evil one.
What?
I don't know. Oh, my fucking God. Yes!
That's really what
absolutely gorgeous.
That's really what every guy's saying.
What is wrong with these people? Honest to God. Oh, so many memes, a million memes. Looking hot and sexy. You're beautiful. You're a gift from heaven. Thank God for you, Emma.
How do you spell her name? I can't find her.
I can't find her either.
E-M-M-A.
Yeah, I got that part.
L-A-Y-N-E. Oh. Video game creator.
Stupid Y.
Cute and sexy, yummy, delicious. Anytime, sweetheart.
Wait a sec. Do you know... Is she dead?
I don't know. I have no idea. Somebody just sent me this...
No, she's live right now. I'm looking at her.
Oh, okay. Another Emma Lane was... Wow!
How beautiful you are. There's a lot of good pictures.
Making eggs.
She could pick up her kitchen. Jeez.
She's live all the time?
She's live right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I see her. Sexy as the outfits that she's wearing in this, but those are pretty. Can we listen to some audio?
Loves the tight dress store.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, man, she knows she's smoking hot, too.
She loves her ass, too, and so does everyone else.
Streaming. See my ass.
And that other fellow fucking nerds.
He's got a filthy mouth.
Okay, so I think I want to double this recipe.
I love the stockings and your beautiful ass.
Half cup, so I want a cup of breadcrumbs.
Cake for days.
That is what?
You know, this is dumb. Nobody cares what you're cooking.
You've got a booty from the gods.
She loves doing cosplay too on her YouTube channel.
I want to spank that ass.
Holy shit! Here, you need to check out the Instagram then, because
crank it, Brandon. Let's hear it.
Yeah, here it is.
I'm
sure there's a lot of similar pictures, but wow.
No, there are tons of them. Well, let me hear, Brandon.
Oh my God! Look at those. Oh, I know it.
Well, let's hear some commentary.
It's kind of sick.
Let's just take a look at a random one. Oh, every single one, she's in some form of
She better watch out for my tongue tornado.
My tongue tornado.
Mm. Oh, Emma, that ass.
Absolutely perfect. Oh, you're my sexy beautiful. What's this guy doing here? Hello, Emma. How are you today? I run a small paint on a misspelled word on Crossroad. What the hell is this saying?
What, does he want gaming advice? Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, he does. Emma. He's...
Can I taste the leather when you're done with it?
Oh, you're so tough.
I know. Oh, looking so hot, fire emoji.
Do you play Pokemon on Nintendo Switch?
Oh, grow up.
Those thighs, though.
Oh, here she is as Lara Croft. She's looking pretty good.
Yeah, no, she's very sexy. I'm amazed. She was actually answering some of the compliments earlier.
I got to tell you, I wonder if she was involved in Gamergate, Brandon. You know what Gamergate is, right?
Oh,
when all the guys got mad at all the females that worked in games. She must just be a streamer, though, right? Just a hot piece of ass. Yeah.
A hot one.
Norman has a question, a serious question. Do you get naked on OnlyFans? I would definitely pay for that if you do.
Okay, yeah. Do you have a fans only page?
You need a better photographer. Hit me up.
Your body is second to none. I would love to squeeze your lemons.
Oh, shut up.
These people, I hate them all. Oh, you're nice.
Oh, my God, she does have an OnlyFans.
Sexy tail.
Jesus.
All right, let me go to another picture. Oh, yeah, here's another one.
Here's OnlyFans.
She has an OnlyFans.
Only 825 comments on this one.
Someone has put a lot of her OnlyFans up on Twitter.
I'm sure you hear this a lot, but you're drop dead gorgeous. I'm an amazing person, great sense of humor, smart, and that ass. Oh, your man's very lucky.
Does that person think that she's gonna...
Does it smell good enough for you in there?
Like, go date him because of his flattery?
I don't know. Do they really just need to say this to her? Oh, you give off that glow. It seems
while they're beating off
my spirit every time. Complimented with a smile that's contagious.
Shut up.
You have an amazing ass. Such a beautiful face and smile. You're what every guy wants, including me.
Ew.
Simply a stunning beauty. Thank you for sharing your beauty with us. Oh, God. And you look very sweet. You have a lovely, sweet voice, too. And that ass.
That ass.
Yeah, well, she points
she does
it
have
a lot.
Nice ass. She's got a
towards
thick ass.
The camera.
It's kind of it's a big ass. It would be very hip in this day and age, I would say.
It's not a bad ass.
It's a pretty nice ass, really. I mean,
how did you come across?
Her? Someone sent me this because they were just stunned at the thousands of comments on just a Facebook page.
Oh, here's.
I would think the Instagram comments would be even better.
Yeah, here's one.
Well, the last time I saw a pair of jugs that big, two hillbillies were blowing on them.
Nothing. Come on.
I'd tongue punch that fart
box. Oh, God, shut up. Is that from the fighter or the kid? Which one sent that one in?
I'd tongue punch that fart box? Oh, my God. Pretty
stupid.
Pretty in pink.
How dumb.
What's up with those cheeks?
I'm a weirdo and kind of a pervert, I guess.
Oh, my God, I'm a best pick so far. So hot.
Oh, you're... Look at this. Your ass. Look at this picture of her ass
coming out of her shorts.
And this guy goes, "It's my perfect tongue holster."
Someone called it a perfect turd cutter. What is wrong with these people? Good God.
Turd cutter's kind of funny, I guess. tongue holster's okay.
I never comment on these, but Emma, oh, geez, so sexy.
Oh, bullshit. Click on that guy's profile, and I bet you he comments all the time.
Love, period, you, period, butt, period, turn, period, around, please.
Jeez.
I'll be the first to say it, lovely arse, baby. You are one of a kind. I hope you like my messages on Messenger. I hope you're very safe.
No, she doesn't.
Enjoy your nice weekend over in America. You look so attractive. I respect you as a lovely young lady, too. Oh, that ass.
Look at this one. Wow. Hey, princess, my name is Liam Bailey, and I'm 23 years old. I'm from Bristol, UK, and I'm looking for a serious long-term relationship that may lead to marriage. I'm polite, kind, respectful, loving, caring, sensitive. I'm a gentle person. Do you think I can take you out on a date sometime?
Oh, my God.
Did she respond?
No, no response at all.
What?
Look at that dude.
This poor guy right here.
Oh, my God.
He's not going out with you.
That guy's trouble.
My God, what a zero.
That guy's an incel. Or he's going to be.
If you're a man facing divorce, you need ADAM, the American Divorce Association for Men. Unfortunately, in these COVID times, many people are finding that spending more time with that significant other is not helping. And maybe it sounds like the divorce rate is actually kind of ticking upwards. So don't take a chance with the future. Go with the best. ADAM has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call ADAM at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. Oh, Emma. Oh, God, Emma. Well, good for her. Do you think she reads those? Do you think she goes, oh, my God, these are so cool. Yeah, this is so nice.
I think she does read them.
This is her income. This is her gig. So.
Just being hot, just walking around hot.
Yeah.
Oh, look just at those pictures. Got it. See those.
You know,
I'm getting sucked in.
See,
when you're on Twitch, when you're on OnlyFans, yeah, people will just.
But it's the same girl over and over and over, and you'll never touch her.
But this girl represents something that a lot of lonely dudes love.
Tongue.
She also is a great ambassador for video games. And so when you mix those two worlds together, some dudes just have.
But the picture is still her over and over and over. It's the same girl.
I know.
And plus, she's never nude.
That's what the OnlyFans is for.
I know.
You get a taste.
Oh, so if we joined OnlyFans, we'd see her getting laid and stuff?
Yeah. I don't know about getting laid, but I think you'd probably see some.
We see her fart box get tongue punched.
Yeah, it's my tongue holster.
Jesus. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, God.
Look at that turd cutter.
Oh, man. Help me. Okay, so I was so excited to see that Gretchen Whitmer had met with Joe Biden. She's still in it.
Yes.
She's still in it.
I'm really excited because I just want to be right.
Is she? Do you think she's going to get picked?
I'm going to dig in and say, yeah, she's going to.
I don't think so.
Why? I think he's got to pick a black woman. I really do.
No, because he's already hedged that by saying if he gets to pick a Supreme Court justice, he'll pick a black woman for
that. No, that's just an excuse because he doesn't know if he'll get to pick one.
But he's that's why he's hedging. It's a pretty smart hedge on his point. She's the only executive that's in the left. I mean, everything else is senators or a mayor. I mean, she's running a state. I think that, and it's a swing state.
Whatever. Well, I think he's going to win Michigan. I mean, he's so far ahead in Michigan.
Yeah, so did Hillary.
Was she that far ahead?
Well, but no, but she thought she was going to win. I don't think they're going to take the state for granted anymore. Just from a political perspective, I think it's very important to them to pick someone from the Midwest because it helps them. He's not a Midwestern guy.
Yeah, it's interesting. VPs do matter, not always a lot, but in a really if this race were to get close, she could make a difference.
A couple of reasons Trump chose Pence. Number one, evangelical. That was huge. I mean, that was the biggest reason.
Oh, God, I'm stupid.
Well, it matters. Governor, and he's Midwest. It's a very smart pick.
I guess it worked. He won. So, yeah, it was a smart pick from that standpoint.
Thank you.
Anyway, she people are really, really, really trying to find out because Biden revealed that he met with her in person.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody apparently thinks that she flew there on a private plane.
Wait, he didn't reveal it, did he?
I think he said they met in person.
Oh, he finally did reveal it?
Didn't he say that? Somebody said that.
It came out because two Democrats from Michigan leaked it.
Oh, okay.
With knowledge, and then they basically said... We don't comment on the governor's personal life.
Like, well, her office won't comment on how they met either, which is really insignificant if you think about it, except that there's this feeling, or maybe somebody knows this, that she took a private plane.
They know it, yeah.
And flew to Delaware and flew back, which would seem to be a carbon footprint. And also would seem to violate the business of being careful with COVID-19 because they could have Zoomed very easily. In fact, why wouldn't they Zoom?
I am surprised they didn't Zoom. Maybe Joy had to sniff her hair.
That's the best reason I can think
stupid.
Of.
I don't know why they wouldn't.
What is unknown about her? I mean, honestly, what, he had to stare at her tits for a couple minutes?
Maybe. They've got to have a deep vetting process, though, man.
Yeah.
Well, no, they do, but this person is very vetted. I mean, extremely vetted. Joe, so in other words, he had to vet her in person. If he didn't see her in person, something could get by him.
No, I mean, come on. That whole aspect is...
Your smell could get by me.
...is bullshit. But what if they... Yeah, you know what? Vice President...
At least admit it. If you took a private plane, just admit it. Stop. I mean, it's like the husband that raked leaves up north. I mean, the longer it goes on, the dumber it gets.
It's not like she's trying to get hired to be a college football coach. I mean, that's not the only time you see about flight tracking.
A big school
wants to hire a coach.
Well, it depends. I mean, if it's a really dumb big story, yeah, it happens. But it seems to me that this is another case, and honestly, I don't care if she took a private jet. I really don't care. But it's another case of, well, what I'm doing is really important. So, yeah, we could Zoom, but I needed to see him in person. He didn't see me. I mean, it's the vice presidency, so it's really important. You know, just like this, tying all these boats up. We're breaking this record in Lake St. Clair, so it's really important.
Is that her choice, or is that Biden demanding, you know, see her in person?
I don't know who it is, but whoever it is, obviously they think that they should take an exception.
There's no reason they couldn't have Zoomed.
No. And I really, honestly, like I said, I don't give a fuck. It's not going to move one way or the other. But it's just, to me, another example of, I know, but I'm getting married, and we got the down payment on the place, and, you know, and...
I got to tell you, though.
And we're protesting, and it's really important.
Another reason I would have Zoomed if I was here, because that plane left at 5:33 p.m. and got back at 11:16 p.m. That seems like a waste of a trip.
Pretty quick. Because I can't imagine what did he get from meeting her person. First of all, it's Joe Biden. He's 78. I mean, it's late in the day. He's probably
took her for a ride in that Corvette. Malarkey.
So this boat tie-up, is that getting a lot of media shaming from Lake St. Clair? Because I saw it on the local news.
I just saw the story about it, yeah. I didn't know there's any shaming involved.
Well, there was on Channel 4, and they were suggesting that they were reporting on shaming. I don't know if I saw it on the national news. Yeah, it was an incredible line of boats. But honestly, if people were on their own boats, I don't see why it would be a big deal. Except that there was a central place where a bunch of people were all jammed together.
Just open everything up. No one cares anymore about COVID.
It seems to be kind of over in that way. But you know what? What if they just said, you know what? We're an international joke now. We are the country, the only country that just can't stop this thing. So let's do this. Let's, for the next 3 weeks, no groups larger than five. Five people the most, no exceptions. First of all, you know, there'd be a zillion people going, well, we already planned this, and we had this family reunion. I mean, there'd always be a million of those, but I don't know why. I can't think of any of these large groups, any of them. And I'm including protesters. Sorry about that. But there's no reason any group needs to get together in the next 3 weeks. Couldn't they just avoid this for three? I mean, it would really help, wouldn't it? If no big groups got together, wouldn't it help a lot?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I'm just saying, wouldn't it help a lot?
Yeah, it would have helped. True. We wanted the whole country to shut down in March for 3 weeks, and we couldn't do that.
I'm just saying, it's just...
Was it Goldman Sachs? That a Goldman Sachs, which I don't know why he would know this, but he's like, hey, if everybody wore masks, we could be pretty much done with this in 3 weeks, which a little simplified.
Goldman Sachs?
Yes,
what does
one of the heads of one of the banks? I don't know. But I got to tell you,
considering
the amount of data those companies crunch all the time, I wouldn't put it past them to, you know, it's very important for them, for the economy, to figure out where it's going.
There was a story.
That Georgia school, by the way, remember the pictures?
Yeah, nine cases already.
Nine cases, but more importantly,
they had to go to school, and they had to crowd up the hallways. There was no way not to crowd up the hallways, and that hallway was jammed with people, and some were wearing masks, some weren't, And it was like, well, obviously, this isn't going to work. I mean, you could take one look at the picture and say, and of course, they suspended the kid that took the picture.
They just reinstated him.
Oh, how nice.
After they started doing national interviews. Fucking stupid. Well, nice knowing optics of the world.
Chicago's Magnificent Mile. This is interesting. The reason I found this story interesting is because I rarely read about the long-term economic significance of COVID and what's going on.
It's out there, yeah.
There are a lot of people who are really going to suffer. You know, for example, when they start insisting, like a real world, that you pay rent when you have to pay rent, that you're evicted when you don't pay rent, that you're evicted when you don't pay your mortgage. You know, when that starts happening, because it can't go on forever, then there's going to be a lot of problems. And this weekend, I bumped into this long, long line, and I was like, what is this line for? And I was picking up some food, so I got out with my mask, and I asked someone in the line, and the line was about, I'd say like 80% were wearing masks in the line. I mean, most people were. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's this line for? And they're like, oh, it's a food, food kitchen. Bank. Yeah, it was good people bank. That were getting free food.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, this line goes on and on and on. It was moving quickly, but it was a long-ass line. I'm thinking, wow, I mean, it's just interesting that COVID is all that's talked about. And very little, and I've been saying this for a long time, but anyway, so I got this article about Chicago from CBS there, which is where Brad works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Brad Edwards.
Mm-hmm. Brad Edwards is the evening anchor. I mean, he has really moved up in this world. Good for you, Brad.
Yep.
Is Chicago's Magnificent Mile at risk for massive store closures? Just 2 months ago was the epicenter of unrest. Then this week there was a murder on Oak Street and Michigan Avenue. Now, Oak Street Beach is like the most everybody kind of place. If you want to go to the beach in downtown Chicago, there's a decent chance you'll go to Oak Beach because it's just a huge beach. It's got this big restaurant there. You can rent bikes and you can rent rollerblades, and it's got a long, long path to jog on or walk on. And by the way, the bicycle people are the biggest assholes on that.
Cyclists.
They will. Somebody was blowing a whistle like when people weren't getting out of his way.
Oh, dick.
Because he was he was in a race or something. I don't know.
It's that woo woo.
It was like one of those Lance Armstrong races where an adult is having a bike race.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that is on. So a murder on Oak Street. And this was a rapper who was shopping.
Yeah.
There's some really, you know, pretty highfalutin places you can shop there. Like all of them. I mean, all the big ones. And he was getting in his car. And somebody drives by and just kills him. And I think a couple other people were shot, too. But Oak Street. I mean, I was like, Oak Street in Chicago. Oh my God, that's not too far from where Jesse Smollett was.
Mm-hmm. MAGA country.
Right? It's not MAGA country.
That's what Smollett said.
I know.
Or that's what the guys attacking Smollett said.
MAGA.
All of that is on top of a pandemic that has taken a toll on everyone. The MAGMAL businesses aren't unique, but Alderman Brian Hopkins said it is the recent violence and spike in burglaries that is causing real concern now. Magnificent Mile's 13 blocks. And the Magnificent Mile, I mean, this is like shopping. Midwest shopping, there is no better place. It's a place where people like to just walk around, just to people watch and to like bump into a store. I even go into stores in the Magnificent Mile.
Ooh.
It's a draw for tourists, a serious boost to the city's bottom line. What would the city look like without all of that?
Replace it with Amazon warehouses.
Some of the suburban retailers are starting to see upticks in their activity. On Michigan Avenue, we're not seeing that at all. Existing vacancies, which used to be very rare. Some stores still boarded up, others dealing with plumbing. And a lot of these stores boarded up because there were protests down there quite frequently, and there was sometimes it got a little out of hand, and it was a little dangerous. Not to mention breaking windows and that sort of thing. Some stores still board up, others dealing with plummeting sales, and a spike in theft and safety concerns are keeping people away. We're losing tax revenue. We're losing sales tax on a daily basis. If this trend continues, we will not have a viable downtown. This is Chicago we're talking about. Privately, they're telling me it's not sustainable. They can't continue at this level they're at right now. If it keeps up, we're going to see a rash of business closures in downtown area, names that would shock people.
Quick question. Are they not open?
Yes, they are. Some, most are open. And what you'll see is, first of all, very few people down there. When you see people, it's usually people standing in line waiting to get in a store.
Yeah.
Because they won't let everyone just rush in there at once. Although, I was at Oakland Mall this weekend. Oh, was I pissed. Okay, I go online.
Why were you at Oakland Mall?
Because there was this website with this pet store.
Yeah.
That had pictures of all these puppies.
Yeah, I know that store.
And
yeah.
I wanted to and I wanted to talk to some dogs and ask them, are you my dog? Are you my dog? I just wanted to touch some dogs and see some dogs and figure out if they were my dog.
I just wanted to touch some. There's Brandon's new puppy.
Wait, you got a new puppy?
I sure damn did. He doesn't come until next month. Would I was going to keep it as a surprise.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, that's the thing. I don't want, you know, I could pay $7,000 like Brandon for some fancy puppy.
That's not true, but
I
understand.
But you'd rather go to a puppy mill.
Okay.
Listen, because of the pandemic, everybody has scooped up these pandemic puppies. I've been looking for a dog before the pandemic hit. And now, ever since this pandemic, all these dogs from these litters I see are like $5,000 a puppy. It's like, what? So I randomly ran into this chick up in the UP. And she got me a dog for $800.
Oh, you're up in the UP.
Man, where have you gone lately?
Is there a festival up there?
No.
Traverse City,
I
UP?
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. I ran to her online. She's from the UP. Oh, okay. And she's delivering the dog to Troy for me, dude.
Thank you, sir. But we don't want any of these dogs.
Weren't you coming
back?
Good
luck getting rid of them.
Weren't you coming back from some outdoor party up there or something like that today?
Well, yes, I went to Traverse City to, you know, I just got back from Traverse City today, like literally 5 minutes before we started our show.
So is COVID over at your house, apparently?
Well, I went to Traverse City. I didn't do anything.
Oh, I thought you said we were at a festival or something.
Are you allowed to hang out with us?
Can I?
Yeah.
I would love to come back to this.
Oh, you're allowed? You're allowed to come in?
Oh, knock it off. You guys have been keeping me out of there for so long.
No, you were the one that left. You had to leave.
You lie.
No, wait, hold on, Mark. Wait, wasn't Kristen compromised?
Well, she definitely is compromised. Yeah. She has an autoimmune disorder. Okay. She has no immune. Yeah.
Well, anyway, just reading about Chicago, because Chicago has been so shut down. Mm-hmm. I mean,
what about Oakland Mall?
Oh, Oakland Mall, puppy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm looking at like a little bulldog puppy. I'm looking at all these puppies. I'm going, wow, this looks like it could be my dog. So I go in there and I walk in. I don't hear anybody barking or anything. And I go, I'm looking around like, what? And this guy goes, oh, the puppies aren't here. We had to take them out. Some people bought them and we're keeping for safekeeping. And I'm like, oh,
I got one question for all of you. Who let the dogs out?
Is that what you said?
Why are all those pictures on the website? I thought they were going to be here.
Look at that. What kind of dog is that?
Coming to find my dog here. So anyway, then it was a whole thing of a, well, if you want to reserve it, blah, 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 and I'm like not paying any attention. And so I'm like, yeah, whatever. Okay, bye. And so I walk out to my car. And by the way, there were tons of people at the mall. Sure. There were a lot of people at the mall.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Were they wearing masks?
Some were, yeah. Okay. I would say most were wearing masks. I mean, there were exceptions because there were, what do I call it? I don't know. There was kind of a riff-raffy group of couple groups that looked a little riff-raffy where they were about probably 16 to 19 and nobody's wearing a mask and they're just kind of putzing around joking and
get off my lawn.
I don't think they were shopping, put it that way. And other than that, though, I mean, people pretty much minding their own business, but it's just a lot of people. The parking lot was full. I mean, the mall was busy, so the mall would be happy.
Are like,
I didn't see anything terrible going on, but there were a couple groups of, I would say, and that's not a keep off my lawn. I'm just saying they were younger, and they were not wearing masks, and they were like, there was like a clump of them.
Are the animals, I'm surprised the pet store like that is open. Are animal shelters closed right now?
I don't know.
Because they're government run? Usually, aren't they government run?
Oh,
I'm just thinking of the Royal Oak one, which, you know, the city runs that, I believe.
Well, yeah, I would love to look at that. Can one of the shelters please email me and let me know? Because I'd like to look at some dogs. Anyway, so, yeah, just seeing Chicago like this and the Miracle Mile is really, to me, it's unsettling. It's kind of unsettling as the post office is unsettling. I talked about it the other day, and I got a lot of email about that. People who aren't getting their mail have no idea why, when, what, you know, do I get every fourth day now? It's just like, no mail for a few days, and then mail, and then no mail, and then maybe some mail, and then no mail. And I have not had a mailman drop mail off here in 10 business days.
That's incredible.
10 business days.
You said, though, you saw him on the street.
I did. And he said, oh, I'm, he was like two houses away. And I'm like, oh, did you drop my mail off? And he goes, no, because I got to do this. And, you know, it's like his first day back.
Yeah.
And so he did not come back and did not leave anything in my mailbox. And when I went,
it's
was
my
like,
first day.
You know, oh, well, you might have somebody on. There might be somebody on the route Saturday. And like then, they were doing me a big favor.
And then he said,
stop friggin' following me.
But it was the, it was how blasé it was that blew my mind, because it's like, okay, so I'm not getting checks. I did get one.
Yeah, man, what's going on? Can I help you?
I got one check from Manscaped, but there's all other right. checks. They're supposedly, that oh, that should have been there like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And then also some things I sent in the mail. And so I'm going to have to put some of these things on PayPal, I guess, which costs money.
Yeah, there's other ways to do it.
Well, Venmo. I mean, there's a few options, well, but I'm literally, yeah. I'm kind of coming to the conclusion that, and this is a little mind-boggling to me, that I cannot count on the United States Postal Service, who I counted on, and maybe I was overly dramatic. I just thought the mail always came no matter what.
That's insane.
I mean, do you get your, does your mail just stop coming every once in a while? I'm not used to that.
But, you know, because I sign up for the thing where they take pictures of your mail and say, this is what you're getting right. in your mail today, which has changed all of a sudden.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if they took less time taking pictures and more time just, like, delivering me my mail?
I don't
mail?
Think a guy's framing it.
I don't want them taking
a Polaroid
pictures of your
upload.
Mail while they're not delivering mine.
I think it's
that,
automatic.
All the time they put into taking pictures of your mail, they could use delivering my mail.
But yours, so anyway, they say now on those thing when they send the email, it's like, this is the mail that should be coming soon. wait, before it was the mail I was getting today, and I would, because I noticed there was something they were supposed to get because it looked kind of, there were a couple cards and stuff too that it's like, oh, okay, when is this coming? And then it came like 4 days after.
Okay, I've come to the conclusion that this is an okay boomer thing, that I'm dumb for expecting my mail all the time, that apparently people don't get their mail all the time and they don't use the U.S. mail. And so
this is a COVID thing, man.
Okay, but wait, time out. It's a COVID thing. Well, that's okay. I've talked to some people that work for the post office now who have emailed me a little conversation back and forth. And some of it, you know, there's a lot that I don't know, of course, which is nice to know. And I appreciate that. And I've always thought the post office was something you could count on. But what they're telling me is that, okay, yeah, it's COVID and some people don't feel safe going to work, or they're attending to family members with COVID. And it's like, so I wrote back and I said, but 2 months ago, I always got my mail. Mm-hmm. And now there's less COVID in Michigan. There's like, how many people died yesterday? One person?
I think it was two and then 544. Oh, that's today's numbers. I'm sorry.
The numbers are low. Why are all the... So everybody at the post office has COVID or is attending to someone with COVID, but the rest of the state would have barely any outside of postal people who apparently are all the COVID is involved in the postal service. What it amounts to is apparently there are more liberal rules now in terms of COVID and going to work at the U.S. Postal Service. Now, you're telling me that my mailman, who is a great guy, by the way, and I certainly wish him no ill will, or anybody at the Postal Service, are you telling me that they have to bunch up and be around lots of people at the post office? Even the carriers do? They can't just go pick up their pile and leave?
I don't know how it works.
Is it like building a car where everybody has to be close together and all that?
It does seem quite solitary.
You know what I think it is? I think that it's an option right now.
Yes, it is an option.
You have that option.
You're right.
You're going to take advantage of it, whether you have COVID, know someone with COVID, or are even close to being scared of COVID. If they're saying, hey, by the way, you don't have to work for the next couple of weeks and you're still going to get paid.
Well, Brandon, you left something out. Or if you want to take a few days off. And so you say that you have a COVID paranoia or a relative or whatever. Because even the people who are in the system who wrote back to me said, yeah, a lot of people are taking advantage because the rules are more liberal now. And so a lot of people are just, they're kind of, they're not really going to work that much, even though they probably could. So my first question is, okay, here I have lost complete confidence in the Postal Service now, because not only are they not delivering my mail, they're not even acting like it's a big deal to not deliver my mail. They're not even telling me, like, do you think I should have to go to two post offices to find out what the fuck is going on? I mean, it's pretty strange, isn't it? One guy said, hey, you're so lucky somebody answered the phone. He said, it's a miracle to get somebody to answer the phone at the post office.
When you first told me that, I said, hey, you should send Gary Peters an email because he's trying to figure out, because it's happening around here a lot where people are getting their mail late.
Yeah, and they're very pissed.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find a way to eliminate the U.S. Postal Service from my life now, which sure. is, that's like not good for the postal. Have. That's not good for the Postal Service, though.
No.
I mean, it's the fact that you could count on them that was what they had going for them, because generally, you know, it's snail mail.
There was another emailer who pointed out about he was really mad about the benefits line.
Yeah.
And he says they're on par with other government.
Government employees. People get good benefits. Sorry if you sure. don't like that, but they do.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of us who, you know, our friend over at Beasley, who is paying $2,000 a month for his medical. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. What's he get with that?
He covers his wife and him and his two kids. $2,000 a month. That's his out of pocket. That's they cover some of it, and he still pays $2,000.
That's incredible.
No, it's a lot. I pay $1,500 a month.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is that?
It's more than I pay, and I have four people on it.
Oh, I probably have a better program.
Yeah. Well, you absolutely. You
I'm on,
go whatever,
I'm on the silver want. Program.
Cadillac, like the government.
Well, he may not think the benefits are that good, but don't they have pensions at the post office?
Yeah, and to that
okay,
point...
Okay, well, nobody has pensions anymore, so no, that is no, a good benefit.
That's incredible.
That's a very good benefit. I'm not knocking... I like when people get good benefits. I'm happy for them, but don't say you don't have good benefits.
And to the pensions point, because you always hear this like, about the USPS, is that all they do is lose money. It's a terrible organization. It's just
the imaging isn't real good.
No, but the thing about them... losing money is from like 2004 to 2006, they actually turned a very healthy profit. The problem happened is that Congress, you know, funds them and decided that, you know what, you guys have to pre-fund your pension costs for the next 75 years. So that's what has put them, you know, in such a negative position. And that's why they're having such trouble making money, because it doesn't make
any
sense.
Well, if they can't deliver the mail with any regularity, then they might as well cease to exist.
You know who's really going to get that ball moving is when Bezos goes, look, you either deliver my Amazon products or we're going to keep expanding our delivery system.
That would be interesting to find out. Are they doing this to the Amazon products, too? Is Amazon going, wait, what happened to the package? It was like 3 weeks ago. Oh, I don't know. It's crazy. I don't think there's anybody on that route right now. Maybe there'll be somebody there Monday.
I have had a lot of Amazon products delayed lately. That are being delivered via Amazon. Now, I think that's because...
Well, what's delayed? I mean, instead of being two-day shipping, you get it in
a week,
four?
About a week. But the thing with that is I think they rely...
I have money I'm sending people that is like... Okay, when I... there's a couple credit cards that tend to run really high. And if I do automatic, I can get I get burned very badly because I'm just not paying attention sure. to a lot of things. So I write them a check. Well, it used to be when I wrote a check for, let's say, a Bank of America credit card, it would literally be cashed within five business days. Not only would it reach them, it would be cashed.
Yeah.
So now I have checks out because this is doing a deep dive that I never do. I'm like, well, what's happening to my checks? Because I got a credit card cut off. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. I sent them a check. You know, it was I couldn't figure out when it was exactly, but I thought it was, you know, a long time ago. Well, I looked it up.
Where's my checkbook? There it is, because I always have it, because I always have my checkbook, because I'm always writing checks.
It was like 2.5 weeks ago. It's not cashed, and my card's cut off.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's kind of a pickle to be in. And the shocking part to me was how blasé everybody was about it, like, oh, whatever. Your mail comes when it comes. We got somebody deliver to you when they can. And okay, I'm not saying it's a post office's fault. I'm just saying the post office has been completely destroyed in terms of my image of it in a matter of 3 weeks.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Pretty much.
And I guess people. Okay, here's the other thing. Okay, so people don't want to go to work because of COVID, even though they went 2 months ago and it was really really bad. Well, I don't know.
I mean, are there other... This is the thing. You're seeing it because you rely on that service every day. Are there other industries where people can just go, I don't feel comfortable going?
I don't even know. Yeah, I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are.
I mean, does that... You remember
I assume they get paid when they say, oh, it's crazy. I got a relative. I can't be there. But they still get paid,
union,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know how many people have that
luxury. Maybe they don't. Maybe they get a percentage pay or something.
Well...
I don't know.
Okay, so here's my next question. Why doesn't the U.S. Postal Service, which in my mind, and maybe I'm just nuts, I've already examined, is this just an okay boomer thing? And I kind of just said it was, but let's just say it isn't that, that people really do, that the image of the post office is being very consistent and always getting it done, even if it's a little slow and it's snail mail and, you know, all that. It's important to know that it's coming every day. Sure. And I yet somehow I feel like that doesn't matter anymore. Wouldn't you think that if that's an important image for the post office, I think it is, wouldn't you think they'd hire some people who will come to work every day?
I don't have any money. And I think people...
Is that really the reason? They don't want to spend the money? So, in other words, there should be a half-ass operation until the end of time or until the end of COVID?
Hiring freeze. I wonder how bad it is in rural areas, because that's the only thing out there. There's a lot of places UPS and FedEx won't go, and they're heavily reliant on...
And that costs the post office a lot of money, and that's part of the reason they're not so successful, or they're not as profitable as they could be, is that we count on them for stuff like that. So the post office is important. I mean, the postal service is important. I'm not trying to demean or... I'm just saying, I don't get it, how you can all of a sudden... Because a lot of people who were responding to me who were furious, of course, because they're not getting their mail.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, livid.
Did you tell them, did you just forward it to Gary Peters?
No, I didn't. But, you know, their attitude was, hey, I'm Venmoing, I'm doing this, I'm not fucking relying on the U.S. Postal Service anymore. That's not good.
To make you more angry, here's what you should have gotten yesterday. You should have gotten those two pieces of mail.
Let me see.
Do you want me to click on I did not receive this mail?
What? I love that the post office is so loose with my mail that you're looking at pictures of my mail.
I signed you up. I know things.
That's weird that they have pictures.
How did they know it was me when it was you?
Because I signed you up, because I know your personal information.
Well, that's kind of bogus. I think there's some other people not showing up at the post office. Okay, let's see what I missed.
You missed those two things,
okay,
it looks
that's
like.
That's a check. That's my rent check from the house in Phoenix.
Did you get it?
No.
All right, I did not receive this mail piece. Submitted.
Well, how would I get it? You're not delivering it.
It just says submitted, so who knows if it really is submitted.
Okay, what's the other one?
Something from Merrill Lynch, it looks like.
That's a little bit of money, too.
Did you receive that?
No.
All right. Submitted. Let's see what you were supposed to. You weren't supposed to get anything on Friday. That's the good news. Thursday, you were supposed to get, I don't know what that letter is. And
that's from,
that looks like junk mail.
Yeah, fuck that.
You probably got that one. Here's Wednesday. Ooh, did you get your Val pack? That's the one you picked up.
I drove to 8 Mile to get that.
Here's Tuesday. Wow, Tuesday was a busy day. You're supposed to get four pieces.
Got that bill.
That's Manscaped,
got
right?
Got that bill for my landscaper. Thanks, Rob. I don't know if I got that or not. I don't know. I left with five pieces of mail for 8 business days, supposedly.
That's funny. Hey, everybody, just start sending Drew a card and see how long it takes to get here.
Boy.
Just take a piece of paper and write the date, hi, Drew, and then mail it, and we'll see how long it takes to get here.
What a disaster.
I can't believe you ran into the guy on the street, and he's like, yeah, I got a bunch of stuff for you, and then he just disappeared.
Well, he said he was coming back. I'm like, but you're two houses away. What's the deal?
He's probably telling that story. I told this fool I'm coming back. I had no intention of coming back, and you know what? I'm going to skip it tomorrow.
He's pretty swamped. I actually felt bad even bothering him because he looked very, very busy and very stressed. Well, he didn't look that stressed, actually. So,
stressed because some guy was following him, wondering where his mail is.
In terms of other stuff, because we got to get moving along here pretty quick, I was talking about Michigan Avenue in Chicago, and just what a shocker that is.
But what do they want done? I mean, what are people supposed to do?
And they're not supposed to do anything.
You said people can shop there,
I think the point is that not only do we have COVID and those issues, but they've had a lot of protesting going on in that area, and henceforth, there was a lot of like, this is all going on. We don't want to be open while this is happening. Windows are getting broken. There was a little bit of that. Not as bad as New York.
Do you have a feeling, though, that let's say everything's wide open, that there's still going to be a large segment of the population that goes, I have no desire to go shopping right now?
I think there are a lot of people who don't want to go shopping right now. But hey, I don't know look at Royal Oak. What a great job they've done with, congratulations to the DDA and all they've done down there with the Royal Oak Bucks.
That's a good point. Michigan Avenue should do that.
They're fighting to make this happen and doing a great job. And I'm sure Chicago is probably doing the same thing or trying. But unfortunately, because there was so much activity in that area and it was very, a little bit volatile, to say the least. And then you have, a shooting on Oak Street and burglaries, you know, theft, like they've just not, they're not used to experiencing that. They're not used to having people ripping shit off from, you know, Lord and Taylor and, you know, all those swanky places, because that's where all the big stores are. And they're great stores, too. They're big stores. Anyway, between that and some of the other cities, and then I was reading about Portland today, indirectly, because I really don't like reading about Portland, because I feel like I'm just not going to understand this, so I'm just not going to trouble myself. I tried to get up to speed on it. I don't know why. What is? Do, can you explain to me why people are protesting for the 74th night in a row tonight?
Well, I think it got new life when the feds showed up.
They're the really feds pissed. Have been gone for like 10 days.
Oh, I didn't know they were gone. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, aren't the feds know. Gone? Didn't they oh, pull yeah. out? Yeah, the feds are gone.
I thought they were going to, but then didn't.
Well, let me look it up.
I mean, no, I believe
no, you. No, I honestly had not heard that they were not gone. Hold on.
Is there...
By
the way, in other social distancing news, we had a pretty sweet brawl in Major League Baseball today.
The night the feds left for Portland. Really? Let's see. July the 30th. Yeah, the Wall of Moms put the Wall of Moms up against the feds on July the 30th. That was the night the feds left Portland. According to this story, I don't know. I where did you hear that they hadn't left?
I thought that was part of the story. I don't know.
Part of which story?
So, okay, here it is. This is from 2 days ago. Some federal forces poised to leave Portland; others could remain through the election.
I guess their presence is like not visible on the streets small, anymore. Yeah. Portland protests calm after federal officers leave the city. That's what they said on July 31st, which is the day after the night they said the night the feds left Portland.
Yeah.
Oregon governor says feds. Leave I mean,
that's
Portland.
Such an open-ended question, too, because there's feds here. Depends if they're doing it.
Well, the feds
they're not
here,
doing
are,
what
the
they
feds here are actually not being...
Sure, and they've
they're
been
not
here
that
well
angry about
long
the feds
ago.
Being
no,
here.
Not at all.
I'll forget it. I don't know if they're there or not, honestly. I thought they were gone. I thought that it was very clear that they were gone, but if that's... So that's why they're still burning up the federal
know.
Building?
I don't know. I so don't care about Portland, so...
Well, I don't really care about Portland either, but I was just trying to make the point. Why, after 74 nights, are people still protesting in Portland? What are they protesting? Why? They had a riot.
I bet you they don't even know anymore.
They had a riot 2 nights ago, and like I said, I'm not really keeping up on Portland because it's like,
exactly.
In fact, I heard from somebody, a couple of people from the area who said, this is just, this goes on in Portland all the time. This fucking city's crazy, and there's a lot of Antifa, and on and on and on. So... I'd be curious to hear from those people who wrote before. Is it nuttier in Portland now, or is this just the same nutty stuff as always, or what the fuck? But they are burning. This is the second arson effort at the police. I think it's the police union building that was set on fire a couple nights ago. And the only reason I saw that story was because there was a story about some older women. And I mean older. These women were probably... It was hard to tell, and I'll tell you why it was hard to tell. But they were probably in their late 50s or maybe older or maybe a little younger. But they were peacefully trying to protect the federal building, saying, look, don't set the federal building on fire. And this group of protesters that surrounded them was so appalled by this, they poured paint on this old bag. God. And so you got this old lady walking around with paint all over her hair, running down her face. And it's like... What the fuck is this? What does this have to do with anything? And they proceeded to set the building on fire. The police then come, because the police are just like, hey, you know, we're not supposed to come. We're just guys do your thing and just burn yourselves out or whatever. Just break some shit and then we'll figure it out. And at that point, there becomes a riot because the peaceful protesters did not like the police being there. They said that there's 20 people who were doing all the bad shit, and why should we have to leave because they were there? The police wanted to clear the area because they wanted to put the fire out, blah, 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 blah. And anyway, the peaceful protesters were angry at the police as well. And it ended up being a riot, and I just was like, but the police are not allowed to stop their union building
like a great one.
From being set on fire? I mean, that's not okay? I love the way people are telling the police what they can and cannot do now.
This is so exhausting.
My gut feeling is, what the fuck is the mayor and the governor of Oregon doing? What are they doing exactly?
Well, the mayor is in charge of the police. He's also the police commissioner there, isn't he?
Yeah, and the police aren't happy with the mayor. But, I mean, are the people of Oregon, are they really okay with this? You know, yeah, just set the
building up. Sure, it's Portland. All I know is watching the protest in Beirut, and I said to my buddy, I said, that's how you protest. Did you see how nasty
I love Beirut. Just holy like shit. They don't have enough bad stuff going on.
The protests there are nasty, man.
What is the
pop? That right there is a protest.
I'm dying to know, what is the popularity of the mayor of Portland? Are people, is that how they like it to be? It seems kind of a. Polls show a third of Portland voters unsure who to choose from here.
Well, remember, he's the head of the police, so they're not going to like him either because he's the mayor or because he's in charge of the police.
Well, I think the mayor, though, the mayor's a female, isn't it?
What, in Portland?
Yeah, who's the mayor?
No, it's a guy. He's kind of a wiener.
Ted Wheeler?
Oh, Ted Wheeler.
Yeah, Ted Wheeler.
Okay, let's see.
Ted, where you at?
Ted Wheeler. See if I can get an approval rating on Ted Wheeler. Ted Wheeler.
Kind of looks like
a wiener.
Well,
oh, he's the one who he was addressing the peaceful protesters, and he insisted on having the feds surrounding him. And in fact, didn't somebody throw something at him or something? Or he probably got doused? It was like, wait, dude, if this is so peaceful, then why do you need this phalanx of police around you? Survey shows tight race for mayor. 30% approve of Mayor Ted Wheeler. He's very anti-police, though, is my understanding, is he's been backing off, and the governor as well. It's a Democrat. It's a Democrat-run city. It's a Democratic mayor in the state, isn't it? Democratic governor.
Governor, yeah. I mean, Portland and Oregon are very progressive or liberal, however you want to paint them.
Anyway, the craziness consumes.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
SI has an article here that they just put out about an hour ago that all Power 5 conferences are moving towards canceling all fall sports.
Moving towards?
Yeah.
Well, they sure are having a trouble pulling this trigger, aren't they?
Well, the Big Ten presidents are meeting right now, and it sounds like the presidents are like, we're not fucking playing football.
Okay.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
No? You don't think so?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge deal. Absolutely. No, I'm kind of like, what were you waiting for? What did you think? Or is this the, we really do put the safety and health of our players first?
The quote from
they have all conference people who are saying they're going to sit out the season.
Just a matter of time. And the quote that's coming out in this article that everyone's
maybe this is the best way to delay paying the players.
Well, in a way, it is.
It is, kind of.
But the big quote from the article is, in the next 72 hours, college football is going to come to a complete stop. That's from one of their insiders.
I personally, you know, the Mac's talking about playing in the spring. I'm like, how can you play in the spring and then play in the fall? That is not in the best interest of the safety and health of your athletes, your student athletes.
Oh, because it's too many games for them to play?
Well, to play 25 games in six months?
What if they play, they'll play a shortened season, eight games in the spring and eight games in the fall? I heard someone post that. I'm like, I'd rather just play in the fall then.
I think that makes the sport seem rinky-dink like baseball if they start.
It kind of is.
I think they already were doing that.
No, you know, the conferences are all on their own page. And
well,
do you want to see the brawl, by the way, the social distancing brawl in the A's-Astros game? Did you know that?
They had a brawl today?
Yeah.
Somebody
I did not know. Ramon.
And you can see Laureano just kind of talking about.
Of course, it's the Astros, right?
You know, it looks like I can feel him releasing the ball in a fashion. Now we've.
Look out, folks. This is not a good idea. This is not
COVID,
a
COVID,
good
COVID,
idea.
COVID.
Laureano sprinted toward the dugout, and this is not good, folks.
This Liriano, our
this
guy.
This is exactly what Major League Baseball said you absolutely cannot do.
Wait, does he think the players? Does he think the players go? Wait! Major League Baseball said we can't do this.
Wait, these are guys going on airplanes every 3 days, which you're not supposed to do. Going to hotels and also
Ramon
going
Liriano
to.
Didn't like what he was hearing from the dugout.
Going to casinos.
And he started sprinting right at the dugout.
Oh, A.J. Hinch has a mask on.
Did you see after the revelation the Cardinals were at a casino that one night that they have COVID marshals now?
Oh, Jesus. Starting now.
But you're right. No, A.J. Hinch. A.J. Hinch.
Oh, that's not A.J. Hinch? I can't tell.
He got blown out.
Oh, that's right.
Cheating.
Who is that dude? I can't tell. Dusty Baker's
their new coach, but you'd know Dusty
Baker.
Yeah.
By the way, are you guys following NBA and NHL? I just wonder if anything's going on there.
I was watching the NBA earlier today. Yeah. Did you know, by the way, the NBA has said, yeah, you know, we really, really do like those messages on the jerseys, but we still need to put your name on there. So now at the bottom of the jersey, your player's name. So when I was watching today, J.J. Redick, who, side note, do you realize how good J.J. Redick is now at the age of 35?
36.
Yeah, he's kind of surprising.
But so his jersey said, I think, say their names, Redick. It's just like, what? Well, so is that his first name?
I'm so confused when I see three people
there was
named.
Freedom Ingram was playing, Brandon Ingram, who's Freedom Ingram.
When I see three I Can't Breathe on the court at once, I just don't know what to do.
Well, now they all have last names, so it's a good idea that doesn't really work well when you throw it out.
It seemed a little weird watching a basketball game with no crowd. I don't know why it seemed weirder, but
you know, like the giant screens where people zooming in to watch, so it looks like the people in the crowd are 20 times larger than what they are for real.
You know, I did see that the NHL TV ratings, and I don't know how much is spin and how much is real, but they were saying for some reason that maybe it's in the local markets it's doing really well ratings wise, but
NHL,
in the national it was doing not very well at all. And the NBA ratings, I didn't realize this. Before COVID, the NBA television ratings were way low, like 16% on ABC. TNT was down. ESPN was down. And so they were so excited when it came back because, of course, live sports, it's got to rock, right? Mm-hmm. And the first night they had the Lakers which with LeBron, and they did 4 million or something, which is a great crowd or a great TV audience. And the second game was strong. And they had another game, I guess, that did pretty well. Since then, it's been really blah in terms of television.
The boy don't lie.
I think it's just because it's not in the playoffs yet. You're still wrapping up these stupid regular season
games. But it's live sports. It's something live to watch. I mean, is the first round of the playoffs really that exciting?
Did you know the Washington Wizards got passed by a team that's not playing, that's not in the bubble? I want to say they were 0-4, and they got passed in the standings by a team that's not playing.
When do the NBA playoffs start?
I think in like a week, don't they?
Okay. Because the thing was, with you know, this long delay and then starting up again, the feeling was, this is live sports. This has got to be great. People are going to be excited. But they are below pre-COVID levels in terms of once the first couple games and all the excitement fanned out. It's below the pre-COVID levels, which were way below last year. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they are just waiting for the playoffs. Maybe that's, you know, because the last regular season games, you really don't give a fuck about the last regular season games.
Sure. The regular playoffs do start next Monday.
Yeah.
On the 17th.
It'll be interesting to see. Because it's not been the bonanza that people thought it was going to be for hockey or for basketball. Well, but baseball,
don't they all just have their core fans? I mean, everybody seems to love football.
You also
so many
look
people
at it,
hate
Drew.
The NBA and...
Drew, you're also looking at it a lot through Detroit's lens, and we don't have a basketball team playing.
No,
we don't have a hockey team.
I'm not looking at Detroit
playing.
Ratings. I'm looking at national ratings for the NBA, which
sure,
were way
I understand,
down.
But I think it's amplified when you live in Detroit and none of our teams are even having, you know, even playing.
Well, I'm not going by my interest level or the people I'm around. I'm going by what I'm reading about the ratings for these national games, which are typically around, you know, anywhere from 800,000 to 1.2 or 1.3 million. Like I said, they had 4 million for the first game. And that was like, oh, live sports are back, yay! But then, you know, maybe just a little regular season. Maybe it'll pick up.
Last Monday, though, this is all spin with ratings, but NBA coverage gives ESPN young adults victory in prime time. So I don't know. Who knows? You know, the fact, too, that...
Tell the truth beat the NBA one night.
I would think it would be a lot higher because don't people go to sports bars to watch... Maybe not so much with the NBA.
Yeah, so they're watching at home.
So
that helps the NBA ratings. Yeah. I don't know how many people really go to sports bars to watch NBA games.
Yeah,
unless it's the finals, yeah. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to finish on, and we had the breaking news, so I kind of got clowned there.
One last thing. The first full week of the NBA season, restart averaged 1.56 million viewers, down 4% from the league's pre-hiatus average. But viewership had
next is the podcast.
I'm just wrapping it up in a bow. Viewership had been trending 14% above average. Monday, primetime viewership remains 11% ahead of pre-hiatus average. So, are the numbers lower because they have a lot of games like at 11 a.m.? You know, there's been a lot of games during the days, and that could possibly be why the average is.
I don't know that they're all on. Are they all on TV?
Oh yeah.
Oh, well, maybe that would explain it.
Yeah. So their prime time is up, but a lot of people aren't just, even though they're home, aren't watching.
Are you guys watching NBA?
I've had it on here.
The people I would expect that I talk to that watch NBA are not really watching it. I'm not really sure why. Maybe it's because the season's wrapping up. But anyway, whatever. I really didn't want to spend a lot of time in the NBA. Until the playoffs.
Major League Baseball is doing better in local
markets. It sounded like baseball was the winner of the three sports. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you're absolutely right in terms of every story you read, there's a spin. It's like, well, with an 18 to 34-year-old.
It doesn't matter unless they can sell it.
I prefer looking at the grand total and where that compares to the previous grand total. Not, you know, the local versus the national. I mean, the local's good. That's a good number. I mean, I would think I've got to believe Tiger viewing is up. Yeah. It has to be. I sent Matt Shepard a text and he didn't know. He's like, oh, I should put you in touch with so-and-so.
I was watching the Tigers today.
Gibby's back on,
I was going to tell you, I
sent Gibby a text about, did your boat really explode during the game today?
In the game? Did you respond?
No, not yet.
But he
I sent a picture of Miggy though, and pointed out how his head is on the ball.
We've talked about it before about he has that managerial insight too, because he was talking about Nico Goodrum playing at short, and he's like, he's going to end up moving. You can see him communicating to third before the pitch, and it was just very insightful for that at bat. And then there was a wild pitch, and Shepard said, "That's not quite." Dr. Fauci type opening, you know, which is a pretty good line.
Oh yeah, that was a wild pitch.
Pretty good line by Shep, you know, just mixing popular cultures. And he's like, "Do you know that one, Gibby?" Gibby had not seen Dr. Fauci's first pitch.
You know, we should send it to Gibby.
I just thought it was funny.
I know, I was surprised he
expected him to.
I was thinking Gibby would have seen it too.
But he's got other things to do,
piss chop off his wood neighbors. And clear brush and
at his neighbors
and blow up boats and
blow up boats. Oh man,
I don't know what I don't even know if that was his boat. That's how weird the media is now. It's like a boat that's believed to be Kirk Gibson's boat, and then somebody else said he rented it for the summer, and then someone else said it wasn't his boat, and I'm like, well, whose fucking boat is it?
I thought that boat isn't the one that started the fire.
No, it wasn't.
Collateral damage.
And he was never. Kirk Gibson did not blow up any boats, but his boat may have blown up.
It's not an insurance scam by Gibby.
We can find out. I mean, I would help Gibby out if he needed help.
Speaking of the
A's, down low.
Speaking of the A's, did you see the coach that gave the Nazi salute twice to the players?
What the fuck is? Okay, was that really a Nazi salute?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah.
I didn't see it.
I think, which, whatever, it's fine. He can do whatever he wants. It's dumb. Major League Baseball's getting mad at him. But the excuses were just laughable. The official
apology,
excuse.
He blacked out?
Yeah, what?
He blacked out? What, he blacked out and his subconscious thought he was a Nazi?
That's even worse, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's not good.
I don't know.
Is there a video of it? Ryan Christensen.
Yeah, can you pull up a picture of it?
Absolutely.
What's his position with the A's?
He's a bench coach.
So,
I'm trying to find.
I guess most major league players are he claims, no, they're Latino, black, white.
He claims
look how dumb
he was,
this is. He's just look, just raising his hand. Liam Hendricks, the closer, stops him, and he's like, "What are you doing?
And then
stop
he does
that!"
It again. I think he. I mean, look, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He's probably making a joke because everyone else is doing elbow.
You know
bumps.
What's funny? I would not have gone. Hey, he's giving a Nazi salute. It just wouldn't cross my mind. I don't think. I don't really know what the fuck he's doing there.
Well, a lot of people thought he was.
Yeah, no, it looks like, now that you're telling me, it looks like he's giving a Nazi salute for about 2 seconds, and then he does it again.
But it's, I mean, to act like that's not what he's doing, it looked like the Nazi salute. He's probably trying to make a joke because you can't high-five, because the coach in front of him and behind him are just doing the elbow bumps.
Oh, okay. But yeah, because the guy in front of him is doing almost the same thing, isn't he?
Well, he's got his arm bent, so he's got his, you know,
oh, to do
bent.
The, yeah.
I mean, it's just dumb that he would try to describe it any other way.
It's really hard for me to believe that this guy in an Oakland A's uniform actually goes, I'm going to give the Nazi salute as a joke.
Well, why else is he doing it?
I have no idea. I mean, it's incredible for me to think that, but it's like he's doing it to me.
He was trying to adapt to the COVID world by using a gesture that would allow him to celebrate players while practicing social distancing. Meanwhile,
you know,
the guy
directly
when
people try
in front
to
of
weasel out of something, they always talk
that's
too
kinda,
much.
That's kind of what I think is silly about it is, you know, the weaseling out of it.
There were two other things besides Chicago and New York. New York crime robberies are up 286% in New York. 286%. And last week there was this whole to-do over, did you see Mario Cuomo? Or not Mario, Andrew Cuomo said, I'd like to buy him a drink. And he was talking about all the people who've left New York.
Hi, Mario.
Yeah.
Because they said of the, it's now over 500,000 people. It's closing in, I think 600,000 people have left, have vacated. A lot of them in Manhattan. And so I don't know how they get this information. I'm sure these people all have Bill Gates chips in them or something. But they said that 420,000 of the wealthiest people in New York City have vacated. And de Blasio was kind of, oh, fuck them. You know, New York's going to kick ass. Fuck you if you don't be here. Which, you know, why would you do that?
I mean, it's de Blasio.
It's a rather unusual time. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for people. They might be afraid it's crowded in a city, or I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe say something like, oh, we can't wait for to have them come back when we're.
Yeah, that would be a nice start.
And this is very, we're very safe.
He and Cuomo got into it because Cuomo said, I'll buy them a drink if they'll come back. We need those people. Yeah. And he also is against, apparently, de Blasio and others want to tax the living shit out of you if you make over a certain amount of money in New York to make up, because New York has a giant deficit now, a giant deficit. And New York wasn't in great shape before this, and they also lost 40,000 Amazon jobs and on and on and on. I mean, there's been a lot of great economic things happening in New York. But this idea that you're going to just tax the shit out, Cuomo himself said, I don't think we'll have a single billionaire living in New York City the way this is going now. Because this insistence that, look, we're going to get these people, these really rich people, so relax, everybody else. And those people are going, fuck you, I'm out of here. Because they moved to Connecticut.
Yeah.
It's not that. I mean, there's a lot of options if
New
you live in New York.
It's a hell of a
There's no reason to be in the city right now because there's
no,
nothing
there's
going
no reason.
On, so I don't blame those people at all. Well, anyway, there's one reason.
Pepperoni in New York.
Thank you, Derek.
And Cuomo also pointing out that the crime numbers are fucking insane, and a lot of people do not want to be around a lot of crime.
Yeah.
And all you got all these businesses boarded up because they think they're going to get destroyed or looted or worse. And then also this whole business of bonding people so quickly. Hey, Chrissy Teigen, I'm going to give $1 million to bond people out because this is bullshit. These low-income people who can't get bonded out. Well, she gives $1 million, then somebody tells her she's a criminal lover, and so she says, I'll double it to $2 million. And this fund gets bigger, 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 and it's a real thing. It's actually operating in a lot of places. So you've got, for example, and the people getting out of prison because of COVID. And there's lots of those, and there's lots of crime associated with it. There's a guy named Sean McClintock, who was convicted of rape in 1994 and 2007.
Yeah.
And Sean's out. He was out. And in 2018, he allegedly forced a woman. This is his move, by the way. He forced a woman at knife point to give him oral sex. And he was awaiting trial. COVID comes along right when he's about to go to trial. And apparently everything is delayed. So he's sitting there in jail, which, by the way, for the two previous rapes, I kind of like him in jail anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how this guy gets 6 years in prison for raping twice, 13 years apart. Seems like the same thing. I go, you know, no more freedom for you because you rape people.
Well, but, I mean, the first time, sure, but the second time.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once.
Uh-oh.
Shame on you.
Yeah. What if you do a second rape?
It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
Exactly. I mean, he nailed it. So anyway, this guy's in, I'm sorry, he's in Boston, where the Massachusetts Bail Fund, where their motto is, free them all! Anyway, his attorneys apparently said, well, this is a ridiculous case. Of course he didn't rape this woman. He got done raping in 2007, and the Massachusetts Bail Fund bails him out while he's waiting trial. After two rape convictions and a third, and this case is pretty horrifying, too, if you read about it. So guess what? They bail him out. And this guy who likes to rape people, He was able to go 3 whole weeks without raping someone. 3 weeks. Can you fucking imagine that? He beat a woman, strangled her, forced her to perform oral sex at knife point. Just that's his usual move. And so he ended up, let's see, this is a, he was arrested. Oh, I left something out. Okay. Before, after Chrissy Teigen freed him, before the rape. Oh, no, this is the same guy. I'm sorry. Okay, let's just forget that guy. Chrissy Teigen bails him out. He raped somebody. Same as Sean McClintock. McClinton. Then there's another guy named Ibrahim Baiucci.
This is the one that's getting all the press.
Who, in October the 19th, was charged with raping his girlfriend. And his attorneys, by the way, put on quite a dog and pony show for him, saying, that's his girlfriend. You can't rape your girlfriend, and on and on and on. Well, this is a pretty violent rape, and it's a, the prosecutor said absolutely no way he gets out. No. And his attorneys, due to COVID-19, were able to get him released. And he shot and killed the same girl.
Yeah.
The girl who said he raped her. And then he shot himself. And he's in grave condition, but he's alive. I don't know why
nope,
about it keep
nope,
him alive.
He's dead.
Oh, he is dead. Oh, good, good. But you know what I didn't know about this case was that he was let out due to COVID in April. Well, it took him a whole 3 months to murder the woman that he raped, his girlfriend. It took him a whole 3 months to murder her. But in May, less than a month after he got out because of COVID, he was arrested at a Wendy's on 2 counts of first-degree assault, one of them on a cop, 2 counts of second-degree assault, resisting arrest, and also harming a police dog. And he was released days later, right back on the street. And I don't know if this was the bail fund that did this or what it was, but so how can you be in prison for raping your girlfriend? You get out because of COVID. You assault a police officer. You assault another man. You have 2 counts of second-degree assault. You resist arrest. You harm a police dog, and they let you out again just so you can go murder your girlfriend.
When did what I wanted to
great
know?
Guy,
he had the trial scheduled for the end of March. When did the courts reopen? Why wasn't he? Why wouldn't that be one of the top first things they would have taken care of?
I have no idea, but you know what? In both of these cases, the prosecutors were adamant that these people not be let out.
The lawyer should finish his sentence.
I would love that. I would love
a proxy.
By the way, these
trial.
People who are so confident that in bailing everyone out, and this is what Craig, you can hit the outro. Chief Craig is really, really upset and mentions it frequently that, you know what, we get these guys and they're on the streets the next day and they're doing the same shit. So I never understand this. There's this really small group of people who just keep us so unsafe, and they just spin round and round doing the same bullshit over and over again. And it seems like it's so simple. No more freedom for you. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You rape 2 people. No, that's it. You can't stop raping people. You can't be out here. But no, we got to give them another chance. We got to bail them out in this Massachusetts bail fund. Free them all. And he gets out. And what does he do? Well, he did make it 3 weeks to his credit. But honest to God, I've been saying this lately. Just when I think Trump is absolutely out of it, has no chance to win the presidential, crime is becoming a giant thing. Hopefully it doesn't get any bigger, and I would rather it didn't.
It will. I mean, it will bigger because he should push that, and so it will seem bigger as well.
I feel like if
that's what worked for him in 2016 as well.
If Trump's people would play the cards that they have right now, they could probably make this a good race. But they haven't been playing them very well, in my opinion.
It's going to be a race, man.
Although the executive order giving $400 to people.
Politically brilliant.
When the Democrats and Republicans just want to fight about it and let people starve to death and get in food lines. Yeah, pretty good move. Pretty good move, and I don't know if it'll how it'll
that's
pan
right.
out in the end, but fighting it will cause even more problems.
Biden's already out there fighting it.
So Biden wants to starve people.
Well,
that's what I would say. I go,
that's
oh, you want to starve people?
That's how it comes out, but he's saying this is the beginning of the end for entitlements for you old people.
Okay.
So but nobody can figure out the details. It's, are people going to get their money when they need it?
We'll see you tomorrow with Trudy.
Fired up! Fired up! Fired up! Fired up!